Okay, good morning. It's a bit lighter than it was yesterday, I think. You can remove anything you like. You can even remove all the text and write your own if you like. Yeah. Or, yeah, like that's the interpretation more. I just want each of you to bless somebody for today. So just stand up. It could be the person next to you. It can be somebody sitting behind you. And just bless them and speak God's words over them. Just prophesy over somebody this morning. And bless them for what God's going to do today. And it doesn't matter who you go to. Just make sure that everybody has somebody. Okay, I want to start off this morning by reading a well-known passage from Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 3. Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell upon the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, and the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no roots. Other seeds fell upon thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seeds fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. Okay, this is a well-known story. But I just wonder, which group of those would the children be? Generally. Would they be pathway where the seed fell? Would they be the rocky ground? Or would they be the good ground? What do you think? Yeah, I believe so. I believe in most cases, the children are the good soil, the good ground. And if you see what Jesus says in the story, it says it produces 30, 60, or 100-fold harvest. And that's what I'm going for. I'm going for that 100-fold harvest, the seed which is on the good soil. And I believe that that's good soil. The children. Why? Because they haven't yet been pulled away by things from the world. Generally. Many of them have had experiences which haven't been good. Many of them have not come from maybe the best background. But that's no problem. God can heal that and God can change that. And I believe that the children are the ones who have the biggest faith. They don't ask questions about why or why not or if or that sort of thing. And I believe Satan has understood this. That if he gets the children when they're young, he's got them for life. You know, and he uses all sorts of things, like television. Like, that's probably the main one that he would be using here would be children's television program. Or any television program which children just watch because the television's on. And he can get hold of their minds at a very, very young age. There was a communist leader who said if you give me the children until they're 7 years old, anybody else can have them after that. What he meant was this: if I can get my doctrine into their minds before they're 7 years old, while their worldview is still being formed, then after that, I will have them for life. And that's why it's so important that we see the children as this good ground, that we need to get to them while they're still young. You know, we need to plant that seed while they're still young. I'm going to do this morning something about being a good teacher. A lot of this is stuff which is useful for teachers in school, but I think generally if you're working with children in the church, it's going to help you a lot. Basic principles are the same wherever you're teaching. So that's what's going on. Okay, the first thing, or didn't manage to change the background, which we went into yesterday, how children function. We went into that yesterday, so I'm not going into that again now. Their psychological development. You also need a knowledge of the Word. You need to know the Word of God yourself, not just facts, not just knowledge in your head, but the Word of God needs to be in your heart. You know, a lot of us have a lot of knowledge about the Word of God in our heads, but unless we are living it in our lives, if it reaches our hearts, it's not going to help very much. And it'll just be words, it'll just be facts. And what we need to be teaching the children is and knowledge from the head and experience from the heart. And that's why it's so important that you experience God in your heart. If you only have knowledge, it's dead. If you only have experience, it can be very dangerous. But if you mix those two together and you have a balance of knowledge and experience, that's like dynamite. That brings life. You need, if you want to see something change in the lives of the children, you need to have a complete conviction that the Holy Spirit is for all flesh. We went into that yesterday as well. But in Joel it says, my spirit will fall on all flesh. That the Holy Spirit, there's no junior version of the Holy Spirit. He is the same Holy Spirit who lives in you, who lives in the children. He has the same power in you as in the children. He can do the same miracle through you as he can through the children. There's no difference. And to be effective as a teacher, or whatever your function is, you need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you'll be standing there in your own power with your own gifts and talents, which you need. But when the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes to that and joins in with your own natural gifts and talents, you're going to be more effective. Yeah? God gives you natural gifts and talents, which he wants to use. And when you dedicate your own natural gifts and talents, whatever they may be, maybe you're not a gifted teacher, but maybe your gifting is in worship, or your gifting is in creativity, or your gifting is in contacting people, having relationships. When the Holy Spirit joins in with that, when you submit your natural giftings and talents to God, and the anointing of the Spirit comes on there, they will be multiplied. They will be very much more effective. Yeah? So you need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And everything which we are doing with the children starts with your own spiritual life. Are you in good spiritual condition? You know, are you used to taking time every day, not just to pray, but also to listen to God. Because that is also prayer. Prayer isn't just us talking to Him. It's Him talking to us. And quite often, we forget that part. We don't have time, you know. We tell God everything we want to tell Him, and then we say Amen, and then we go off and do our things. But, you see, what God wants, what He longs to do, is to share His heart with us. And I can sort of imagine Him sitting wherever He's sitting in the heavens, where that ever may be, and He hears us talking to Him. He hears us praying. And He's sitting listening to us. Oh, my child, my child, my child, I'm glad you're sharing this with me. I love you. And then we say, in Jesus' name, Amen. And then we run off and do our thing. And God was just sitting there waiting to say something, and we've already gone. So we need to make a practice of not just taking time to pray, but also taking time to listen. And that's something we should be teaching the children. But you have to be there yourself first. You know, how does God speak? Which ways can God speak to us? Just shout it out. How does God speak? Yeah? Through conviction? Yeah? Through strength? Yeah? Through the word, that's the most important way. Yeah? At the back? Yeah? Anybody else? Yeah? Dreams and visions. He can speak with an audible voice, a voice which you can really hear with your human ears. That doesn't happen, I don't think, all that much, but he does. I've only had that twice happen, that I could, you know, I thought, oh, he's standing next to me. And I really heard it with these ears, you know. But that is a way, but mostly it's on the inside. You hear, you feel, what I try to explain to the children is you have, your heart has ears. I mean, not your pump mechanism, but your spirit has ears. And it's with those ears that you can hear God speaking. But we need to train them. No, we need to train ourselves to hear God speaking. He can give you a picture in your mind. He can give you just a thought. But quite often, we need to train the ears of our hearts to listen to Him. And we can only do that by practicing, by taking time to be quiet and listen. And that's something that the children love to do. And quite often when I have children on the Sunday morning in the meeting in the church, I would just take time and tell them just to go and find a place on their own where they can sit down and be close to God and just listen. And for children, it's sometimes easier to make a drawing of what God is saying than to tell it with words. Adults find it sometimes easier to say what God is, you know, to tell other people. But children are usually more visually minded. And so usually, quite often I have a bit of paper on the floor and say, you know, when God has spoken something to you, just come up and draw what He told you. And they have the most profound thing, I can tell you. There was one boy, it was just an ordinary Sunday morning, you know, just taking time to listen to God. He came up and drew a throne, and he drew a big doors and an angel. And then he said, it was so amazing what happened. He said, I was just quiet and asking God to speak to me, and suddenly it was as if God took me up to heaven. And I walked through the streets of heaven, and I came to a very big door, and there was an angel in front of the door. And he said, do you want to go into Father? And this boy said, yes, I want to go into Father. So he opened the door, and God's Father was sitting on the throne. And he walked into the throne room. I mean, he really had, this was a vision. And he said, it was just as if I was there. He said, I just felt myself walking there. He came to the throne of God, He said, the only thing I could do was to lie down on my face. And I remember then that he had been lying down on his face on the floor while he was listening to God. And God just told him how much he loved him and that he had a plan for him and that he wanted him to dedicate his whole life to him. And then he said, suddenly I was back here. And this is a child of about 10. And if they have had that experience with God, speaking to them, showing them things, they will never forget that, you know? And that they will, if they get used to taking time, listening to God, and letting Him show things, then I think that is the only thing that's going to keep them standing firm in their faith. They need a personal experience, a personal meeting with God. So, I think that's most important, but it starts with yourself. When you get used to listening to God's voice, when you get used to taking time to be quiet, to listen to Him, then you will get excited about it. And when you're excited about it, you want the children to have the same. But if it's something which you think, oh, you know, a bit strange, God never speaks to me, you won't be able to encourage the children to do that either. Yeah? But I think it's one of the most important things. The children themselves need to learn from God. Another way that God does speak very clearly is through your conscience. Now, your conscience is on your inside. It's not something a doctor could ever find if he operated on you. But it's your conscience. It's that this which God has put in you, which shows you very clearly what is good and what's not good. And if our conscience, this is what it says in the Bible, then you can trust it. You know, if you have a feeling, a deep feeling, this isn't right, that your conscience is telling you that you shouldn't be doing this, then you should listen to that. Because God has put that in us. And sometimes it can be just a feeling of, if you're not sure, you know, if God wants you to do this or that, and you start really to pray about it, and you get this deep feeling of peace on the inside, if you think about, okay, is it okay for me to do this? Then you can know that that's God. You know, if it doesn't feel peaceful on the inside, if you're still unrest in the inside, that is probably your conscience saying, this isn't what God wants for you. And this is something we can teach the children very easily. Because the consciences of the children are still pure. Yeah? But they need to understand how it works. And I remember we had a girl in our meetings, and she was invited to a party at a friend's house. A friend of hers had her birthday, I think it was her birthday or something, and she was inviting a lot of friends over for some family. She said, you could all stay and sleep with us at my house. And it was the best friend of this girl in the church. So she told her mother, and her mother said to her, I think you should pray and ask God if He thinks you should stay and sleep there. Because it wasn't a Christian family, and you never quite know what's going to happen. So this girl said, yeah, but it's my best friend, you know. I want to go to her birthday, which is quite normal. And her mother said, no, just take time and go and pray about it. And she had been taught about this feeling of peace on the inside, of feeling that unrest. And she started to pray about it, and she went to her mother and said, Mom, it doesn't feel good on the inside. I don't think I should go. Which is very, if you know it's your best friend's party, it's not quite normal. I would say it wouldn't be the sort of normal thing to do, because you want to go. But God had spoken, shown her, and she knew that this was God, because she'd been taught that, and she'd experienced it. And so she phoned up and she said, I'm sorry, I'm not coming. And her best friend was very upset about it. And anyway, the next day at school, she heard that they had been watching films about witches and about occult things. I mean, these were young children. The parents thought that was okay. And she then realized that's the reason God didn't want me to be there. You see, if we teach the children at a young age that God can show them, then, I mean, we can't be with them all the time. They have to make their own choices. what they're going to watch, what they're not going to watch, where they're going, where they don't go, with which people they are going to be friends, which ones they're not. And if they've learned this, this principle of listening to your conscience, that peace of God, which you said, okay, it's okay for them, you know, then we can let them go. I had to send one of my granddaughters. Do you have Pokemon here? You know Pokemon? There are cards and there are sort of demon pictures on them. And they were very popular in our country. Did you have them in Germany or not? Yeah? Okay, very popular in Europe anyway, and in the States, I think, as well. And the children were collecting all these cards because it was, you know, it was a thing you did. And you had all different sorts of cards and, you know, you could exchange them at school for ones and that sort of thing. And my granddaughter was staying with me, and when I put Soka to bed, she said, what do you think about Pokemon? So I thought, well, there's two things I could do. I can preach at her, tell her all about the power of the demonic pictures on that and that sort of thing, or I can tell her that God could show her and that she can pray about it. So I chose to do that. Because I thought, if God tells her something, you know, then it's much better than if I tell her. So I said, we'll pray about it, and I said, if God thinks it's okay, then he will give you peace on the inside. Next morning, she came down. She didn't say anything, and I took her back to her parents. She went to her father, and she said, I'm going to throw away all my Pokemon cards. You see, God had shown her on the inside that it wasn't good. She didn't have peace. So this is one of the first ways we can teach our children to listen to the guidance of God, to listen to their conscience. Peace. Okay. Yeah? So it all starts with your spiritual life. How are you used to listening to God's voice? And what does your life look like? Are you pure? Are you holy? Do you take time worshipping God when you're on your own? And worshipping isn't just singing. Worshipping is also of telling God, you know, how great he is and how much you love him. Tithing? Fasting? Intercession? Fellowship with each other? They're all parts of development of your own spiritual life. And that needs to be okay, because you're going to be sharing the same things with the children. The children need the same things which we need to grow in our spiritual lives, they need as well. They need to have time for worship. They need to have fellowship. They need to know about purity. They need to know about intercession. They need to be doing intercession. They need to understand the principle of tithing, so that when they start getting their own money, they start tithing automatically, because that's what you've learned to do. You know? And all these things which the children need, they learn from you. If your life isn't pure, you can't share that purity of God with them. I mean, you could talk about it, but they can see through that. You know, they can see through fake very easily, much more easily than we can as adults. So it all starts with yourself, and that's what we were talking about yesterday as well, about your identity. Okay. So one of the first things I've gone into that now about is listening to God's voice. You need to also, if we're thinking about that it's so necessary to function in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it means that you or yourself have to be full of the Holy Spirit. And if you want to teach the children about functioning in the gifts of the Spirit, you need to be functioning in the gifts of the Spirit as well. And I don't mean all of them all the time. But you have to be reaching out for the gifts which God wants to give you at that moment. if you just tell the children, you know, you have to prophesy over each other, and you aren't giving them that example, you're a trainer, you know? You're like a football coach, taking the children out and showing them how to do it. Yeah? So you have to be functioning in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you want to make a difference in the lives of the children, you need wisdom. What you do, what you don't do, and when you do it. And in James it says, if you lack wisdom, you can ask of God and He will give it to you. And you need a chance. You yourself need a chance to watch others and learn and practice from them. If you have a longing to be used in a healing ministry for God yourself, then you need to mix up with people who are already functioning in the healing ministry. And you can learn from, watch them. How does God use them? A practice. If you feel on the inside, you know, that God often gives you words of prophecy for somebody, get around people who are functioning in that gift. And watch and listen. And let them coach you. You know, it's for all the gifts work like that. That's the best way to learn. Okay. I heard once that if a pupil doesn't learn anything in the class, it's not his fault, it's the fault of the teacher. I don't know if that's completely true. But I think there is some truth in that, you know? We have to cause the students to learn. What makes a good teacher? Yesterday we talked about repetition. And we also talked about different ways of bringing a concept over and putting it into practice. And I think one of the most important things is that you have to love the children you are mentoring. If you look at one child and you think, well, I wish that child wasn't there, I don't think you're going to be able to help that child to get very far. And if there's some children you can love automatically, you know, they're that sort of kid. I have this problem. And some you have more problems with. But then if we ask God to give us love and for us to see that child through His eyes, then He will give us love even to those children who may be in some ways a bit more different. Yeah? We need to have love for the children. And the ways of putting a different concept, you can use whatever is relevant in your culture. You can use objects to demonstrate something. You can use puppets if you have them. You can make a sketch, whatever. You can use the children to come and take part in the play. For example, I'm doing this. I'm going to involve you. You're all children now, okay? You act as children. You have the heart of a child, and you're jumping up and down because you want to take part in this play. Obviously, you're doing that, but that's what children are. I want to do it. I'm telling the story of Noah and the ark. So I need Noah. Noah, would you come up and help me, please? You're Noah, yeah? Now, I said you're all children, so. Okay, this is Noah. And we need a Mrs. Noah. Would you be Mrs. Noah, please? Yeah? Okay. So this is Noah and his wife. And they have three sons. 1, 2, 3. Yeah? Would you please come up and be a son? And God has told Noah that he has to build an ark. So you are listening to God, yeah? You stand there like this, listening to God. So you're listening to God. So you now tell your sons and your wife that you're going to build an ark, yeah?
One, two, an ark. Four, three.
He thinks you're actually stupid because there's no water.
He's stupid. You don't see that alone.
But you say, God told me.
God told me.
So you all work and you start building the ark. Yeah? Okay. Start building the ark. You've got your hammers and your things and your swords. Just get to work. Let's go and get some wood to arc. Children love doing this. Yeah? And you're all children. Okay, so after a long time the ark was ready, and it was really big. And then God said, well done. And then God said, you have to go and get the animals in. So then God had said, you have to get a male and a female of each sort of unclean animals.
Well, now my son, God has told me to take animals, female and male, and clean.
So the sons went off, and the first one went and got two monkeys. Would you go and get two monkeys, please? A male and a female monkey. And you come up, your monkeys, you move as monkeys. Okay. Okay, so Mrs. Noah, would you put them in their place where they have to go in the ark? Would you put the monkeys where they have to go? Just make a place they can go under there or somewhere. Yeah? Okay, so the second son went off, and Noah said to him, you go and get two.
Now, I want you to go and get two elephants inside the ark.
Okay, a male and a female. Two big elephants. Okay, you walk up as elephants. Okay, Mrs. Noah, would you put them in to where they have to go? Okay, and then you listen to God again, and God says, go and get two giraffes.
God has told me also to go and get two giraffes. So get me two giraffes. Male and a female.
Okay, two giraffes. Okay, come into the ark as a giraffe. So, Mrs. Noah, would you put the giraffes there? Okay, and then he listened to God again. And God said, Mr. Noah, would you go and get two rabbits?
Again, God has told me to get in two rabbits. So get me two rabbits.
Okay, you come into the ark as a rabbit, please. Okay, so if you tell the story like this, the children won't forget it. Yeah? Don't do it every Sunday, because they won't like that. You know, they'll get fed up with doing it. Thank you all so much. You see, so this is one of the ways you could easily use. You don't need any other things to have with you, but so that the children can visualize what's happening. And if you can have snakes, you can have whatever you like. I mean, the children will really go for it. You know? So, if I'm telling this story, the most important theme I would use, because I want to teach the children how to make things relevant for today, would be that they know the story, but the theme I concentrate on would be listening to God's voice. You see? So, you don't just tell the story of Noah and his ark, but the theme which you use will be, you know, children, God still speaks today. And he spoke to Noah, and Noah was obedient. And if God speaks to you, you need to get up and do what he tells you. And then, I would make it relevant for them by getting them to practice listening to God. They've had their fun. They've heard the story. But we need to make the Bible stories and the themes of the Bible relevant for their daily life. You understand? So it's a bit a different way of looking at things. If we just tell them the story, it'll be a story. And they don't need to react to anything. You see, that's one of the big differences between telling a story and preaching. If you tell a story, it is nice to hear, but it doesn't touch them individually. It's just a story. It goes over their heads. You don't need to react to it. If you preach, you also use the Bible. You might even use a Bible story, but when you preach, you challenge the people who are listening to it, and they have to react to it. And that's why I always say, I don't tell stories to the children, I preach to them. Because the most important thing, I think, is that they react. You know? But it's a personal choice every time they make. And it's not every Sunday that all the children hear God speaking, for example. But I give them the opportunity to listen. Because that's what they need every day. You know? So we have fun telling stories, and you can do it in any way. You know, sometimes if you have puppets, you can use puppets to do it, or you can, whatever. But this is just an example of, you know, you're using different learning methods in this. You've got the physical, they're moving around. They've got the visual. They're hearing just words. But you're involving a lot of the children in it. You know, they're taking part. But the thing that I want to teach them then is that they can hear God's voice. And that's what I concentrate on. We're going to take time, not just now, but later on, to practice this in small groups. You're going to make a children's sermon. But I will give you more instructions about it later. But you're going to be practicing this. Okay, so we need to be doing it in different ways, and you need to put things into practice. Okay. If you're teaching, you need to use practical skills. You need to know all sorts of things which can help the children listen. One of the ways, using your voice, different intonation. You know, if somebody just speaks the whole time like this on one tone and you can hear that the whole time and it goes on for a long and long, 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 long time and they're telling you everything, you won't listen. But if you can get a bit dramatic, or you can change the sound of your voice, or you will be very quiet sometimes, change the intonation and you will keep their attention. Yeah? Don't be too dramatic. I mean, I'll tell you one thing about a don't, which I did. Yeah? But it's very much a don't. I'm quite a dramatic sort of person. I like theatre and I like that sort of thing. And I was telling the story to the children, young children, they were sort of 4 or 5 year olds, the story of the lost sheep. Story we all know, parable. And I was getting really into this story, you know, I was telling them, oh, there was this little lamb, and you know, all getting all into this, and I even had a lamb's suit on me, and that sort of thing. And I said, this little lamb went off, but he wanted to play on his own, and he went away, and he hid. And then he got all caught up in the bushes. Oh, and his mother got so upset about it, and she went off to the lamb's father, and she said, I've lost my little lamb, I've lost this sort of thing. And I was going on in the story, I was really getting right into it myself, and the children were saying, ah, what's happening? And the little lamb, there was even a child sitting crying when I was... And then, I mean, this isn't in the Bible, so you mustn't do that really. This is another don't. And I said, big wolf came up behind the lamb. And all the kids, but anyway, so they all started crying. Anyway, so that's a don't. Yeah? I mean, you can do that with bigger children. But this before 5-year-olds. But you can make it quite dramatic by just using different intonation of your voice. Yeah? And we're going to practice. Anita has written a very stupid radio announcement. And I want 4 radio announcers, please, who are a bit of dramatic sort of people. And I'm going to give each 4 of you a different emotion. And I want you to, thinking about telling things with a different intonation of your voice, using emotion, I want you to read that stupid radio announcement with the emotion I give you. It could be very happy. If I say happy, then you're just so happy reading about this. And if I say sad, then make sure you get tears, you know, and it's really sad. What's happening? And if I say you're angry, then you have to be angry while you're reading. You know, this can't happen, this sort of thing. You understand? And then you hear, those of you listening, you can see what a big difference it makes the way you say the same thing. Yeah? Okay. I want 4 volunteers who think they can be very dramatic. Come on. I know there are some of you. Four very dramatic people, please. I'd like a man, please, and then I'll have this volunteer here. Yes, please, thank you. Okay, if you just come with me out here, because I don't want them to know what emotions I'm giving you, yeah? I want you, when they come in, to, when they've read it individually, think up which emotion. I mean, it should be obvious, but see if you can sense it in the emotion, and just listen to yourself, what a difference it makes if you read the same thing in 4 different ways. It's the same as telling a story for kids, preachers. It makes a lot of difference how you say something, you know? Just to help you to understand how important it is. And it, I mean, it can be very funny, because it's a stupid announcement. So. Okay, when you're ready, would you come in? Doesn't matter who comes in first.
Radio announcement for the people of Uganda. This is an urgent announcement for every... Wednesday, the 16th of January. At this moment, there's an incendiary in the whole country. But the south, they are close, they are coming very quickly. Which, God is no. First, it will be very friendly snow. But it will be very, very, very heavy snowfall. The snow will go to the hailstones as big, like football balls. We will warn you to stay in your place, in your house. Do not go out of your houses. In this weather, the animals will go out of the woods and walk into your streets. The people can be in danger to your health. This can be danger to your health. For information, you can contact the weather information at number 067-0637-265. Please, do not go out. This announcement will be with the drone tomorrow morning.
Next one.
announcement to the people of Uganda. This is an urgent weather announcement for Wednesday, 16th of January. At this moment, the sun is in the whole country, but in the south, dark clouds are coming very quickly with heavy snow. First, it will be friendly snow, but later on, it will be heavy snow. The snow will go to hailstones as big as footballs. We will warn you to stay in your house. Do not go out of your houses. In this weather, the animals will go out of the woods and walk into your street. Oh my God. This can be a danger to your health. For information, you can contact the weather information at number 06-37-265. Please, do not go out. This announcement will be withdrawn tomorrow morning.
Hi, hello, people of Uganda. Today, be happy. This is a radio announcement for you, Ugandans. I hope you have tuned in to the most modern channel of Tororo. This is an urgent weather announcement of today, but don't mind, be happy. At this moment, the sun is shining in the whole country. In the south, the clouds are coming very quickly. Which carries snow, but don't mind about it. Feel nice and feel happy. Just be okay. First, it will be friendly. Now, it will be friendly snow. And later, it will be heavy snowfall. Don't mind about it. The snow will go to the hailstones as big as football. We will warn you to stay in the house, but don't mind. Do not go out of your houses. Stay indoors, but don't mind, you can even go out sometimes. In this weather, the animals will go out to the woods and walk in the streets. This can be a danger to your health, but it will not be so much. You can take control of that. For information, you can contact the weather information at the number 0637265. Please do not go out. This announcement will be withdrawn tomorrow morning. Stay fine and stay nice. Thank you.
This is a radio announcement for the people of Uganda. This is an urgent weather announcement. Who went to the 16th of January? At this moment, the sun is shining in the whole country. But in the south, dark clouds are coming very quickly. Which carries snow? First, it will be friendly snow, but later, it will be very heavy I don't care. The snow will go to hailstone as big like football. We will warn you to stay in your house. In this weather, animals will go out of the woods and walk on the street. This can be a danger to your health. For more information, contact weather information at the number 0637265. Please, not go out. This announcement will be withdrawn tomorrow morning.
Okay. Which emotions did you hear? Happy? Okay, what else? Scared? Yeah? Sad? And worried? Yeah, angry. Okay. You see, it's the same thing, but it can be completely different if you say it in a different way. Yeah? And it's the same when you're with the children, whether you're teaching in a school or teaching in the church setting or whatever, you can make a great difference by just the way you do it, you know? And you can hold their attention much better. So that's important too. And use your body language, you know? Don't just stand there like this talking to them, but be express your body language. Yeah? Okay, and it makes much more fun for yourself as well. Okay, children learn by example. And that starts in the natural at home. They copy what they see their parents do. Yeah? That's the way you teach children to do things, by showing them how you do it and then they copy you. Brushing your teeth. They see you brushing your teeth, and when they eventually get teeth themselves, they know how to do it because they've watched you. Yeah? And it's with a lot of different things. You can, they just naturally learn by watching, by example. And I believe that this is a very important principle as well in sharing the things of God. And this is especially for parents, and if you're not parents yet, if you will be later, remember this. The example that they see at home, they are going to follow. I have downloaded a YouTube film of a little girl. I think she must be just about 2 years old. And she's sitting in the car and have her, I think it's her mother, I don't know, has put music on. And it's a worship song. And this little child is sitting in the back of the car with her eyes closed, with her arms raised, listening to this worship song. And sometimes she picks up one or two words of the song, and you can see her on the film singing, you know, sort of spinning in a couple of words at the end. And then she's sitting there like this, you know, you're not a God who created, you're not a God who's created, you know, you are a God, whatever the words are. And she just, obviously, she's seen her parents do this poem. But when you watch it, you can, it's called Ava Grace. If you can get onto YouTube, it's worthwhile just watching it. And it's one of, there's several films with that child worshipping, but the one in the car, I really cried when I watched it the first time. And I could show it to you now, but I don't think it's probably, you can probably see it very well. But what I want to show is, I showed it to somebody and they said, oh yeah, she's just copying her parents. And I said, so what? But when you watch it a couple of times, you see this child is really worshipping herself. Now, a child that age couldn't keep going on doing this for so long as she does. You see her sitting with her eyes and quiet. Sometimes she's both hands up. I think it's amazing. And it was for me, you know, this is the strength of what we can be an example to for the children. And whether that's worshipping, we had a little boy in the church who used to intercede. He used to walk up and down interceding, and he was 2 and a half, he was speaking in tongues, and he was going like this. But his mother did that at home. So the children in the temple when Jesus came into Jerusalem on the donkey, and all the people along the streets were standing there singing Hosanna, Hosanna. He came into the temple, and the children were in the temple singing the same Hosanna, Hosanna. I think they had seen the adults doing that outside. You know? That's okay. It's okay for them to copy. If they learn to brush their teeth because they've been watching you brushing your teeth. And some people can be critical about this and they say, yeah, but they're just copying. They're not, it's not real. Is brushing your teeth not real? You know? If you've just copied your parents doing it? And I think it's the same principle for, I mean, at one point they have to have their own encounter with God, of course. They have to make their own choices. But if we can get this into these small kids, while they're still very, very, very young, but they see you doing things at home, that's the way you worship, that's the way you intercede, that's the way you pray. I have my parents, for me, they every morning before, well, as soon as I got up, they had about a half an hour quiet time with the Lord. And they read the Bible and they prayed. And both of them, they knelt down to pray. And we as children, you know, this is the half an hour my parents are with God. And we weren't to disturb them. What they did say, if you want to come in and join us, just feel free. And I remember going in and kneeling down next to my mother or next to my father. And just experiencing the presence of God. And that was an example for me. This is what you do. You have time with God every morning before you get on doing your thing. And that's something which I learned. I mean, I can't remember how, as soon as I get out of my own bed and walk, probably. But that we, you know? And in the first time, it was just, I don't think I was even praying. I just went and knelt down next to them and felt the presence of God. But we need, as parents, in the first place as parents, because that's when we have them when they're very young, to be an example. So don't say, I'm going to have my time with God when the kids are asleep or at school. Let them see you worshipping. Let them see you interceding. Let them hear you crying out to God. Let's take them along with you when you go and pray for the sick. Let them be there when you're prophesying over people. If they learn that when they're this size, it'll be just part of their life. You know? And that's the best part to put it in. The best way. So, children do learn by example. That's why our spiritual lives need to be in order with God when we're teaching children. Because they will look at us and see what we do and how we do it. And they're going to copy us. When you tell me you're speaking in tongues, do that when the children are there. A very good example is one of the leaders in the church which Anita goes to. They have, I think, 5 children now, but when I was there for the first time in their home, they had 4 young boys, and the youngest was probably a year then. And before each meal, they sit there with the whole family, and they said, we're going to pray, thanks for the food. But they start off for about 3 minutes praying in tongues. All of them. Even this kid of 1 year old. Okay. No problem. But all these children, these boys, I think the oldest was first time was 9 when I was there, 8 or 9, down to 1 year old. It's just the way you do it. And if they have friends come in from school, it's exactly the same. Friends come in to join in with a meal, they start off 3 minutes praying in tongues. They learn by example. And this kid of 1 year old, he'll be speaking in tongues with him. No? No problem. I know, I remember our pastor said that he spoke in tongues before he could speak in Dutch. And I believe that that's possible. Because we don't have a junior Holy Spirit. So do it with your children. And for me, a lot of these things I learned when our children were bigger, were older. And, you know, sometimes I think, wow, I wish I'd known all this when our children were very small. You know, you could make a difference. So if you're not parents yet, and you will be, just plug this in and let it stay. Okay. Children learn by what they hear and they see and they do. If this is the same for adults, so pastors, please listen. If you, whoever you're speaking, whether it's adults or children, whether, if you just use words, they will only remember 10% of what you say. Yeah? That's the same for adults, same for children. And if you ask somebody, an adult, on Monday, where their pastor spoke over on Sunday, they would probably not be able to tell you very much. And that your poor pastor has been struggling on his sermon for the whole week, and then you forget it on Monday. Right? You remember 10%. If that's a good 10%, okay. But it's the same principle for children. And adults stay sitting quietly, even if they're not listening anymore. But children don't. So if you just hear something, you forget 90%. If you hear and see something, then you retain, then you retain 50%. So if you retain, hear, see and do, put into practice, then you retain 80%. That's why we use a lot of visual aids for the children. But I think adults, because if we have a speaker in our church who uses visual things, you remember much more. You know? And if you also put it into practice, then it becomes part of you. You know? And it's the same for children, same for adults. But with children, if you just talk to them, they're going to get restless and you lose their attention and they're standing on their heads or doing anything else or tickling the person next to them or doing something. So we need to keep their... We need to teach them by hearing, seeing, and doing. Yeah? And you can do that in many different ways. And what I said yesterday as well is what you do tell the children, what they hear, has to be theologically correct. Yeah? The importance of reading your Bible. But we went into that yesterday as well, so I'm not good at that. Okay. What do the children need to hear? They need to hear the whole gospel. You see, a baby starts with milk, but if you kept it on milk all its life, it wouldn't grow up to be a very strong, healthy person. And quite often we keep the children on milk much too long. I mean, in teaching, in the Word. They can have meat as well, as long as we cut it up into small pieces. You know? And it has to be relevant. There is a man in the States who has done a lot of research into things, and he spent 4 years visiting different denominations throughout the state, interviewing teenagers. He did this because of all the reports of teenagers at the moment that they can choose themselves whether they want to go to church or not. They don't go. And he wanted to find out what the reason was. So he went, did a 4-year research into this. What he discovered was this, that they all said, we know everything and it's not relevant. And he was quite shocked about this. So he decided he was going to start an organization, and I think it's called the Joel something, which promotes making the word relevant for children. Because if your teenager says, okay, I know everything, I've had all the stories, I know the Bible, but it's not relevant for me today, why should they stay? You know? We need to make it relevant for them. And every story in the Bible, I mean, every word in the Bible is for us, for our edification. You see? That's why I said, if you tell the story of Noah, think, what is the theme that I can teach the children which will be relevant for their daily life? And from Noah, you could take listening to God, you could take obedience. Even in a situation which was not logical. Because for Noah, it had never rained up till then. Well, the idea of there being a flood sounded completely ridiculous. I mean, what is rain? It hadn't rained up till then. But Noah must have had that sort of relationship with God, which he said, if God says something, I have to do it. And it isn't always logical. You know? So you could take the theme, listening to God, you could take the theme, obedience, from the same story. You see? And so the different stories in the Bible you can take, and you can just ask God, because it starts with prayer, you know, God, what theme do you want me to take out of this book today? And what we need to do is to make the Bible relevant for the children today. Yeah? Because otherwise, they're going to leave. We're going to lose them. And if the world does offer them things which they said are relevant, and we aren't, they're going to take those things. You know? So we need to make it relevant to them. And when I heard that from this man, George Barner, that these children all leaving the church because the message wasn't relevant, I started rethinking everything I'd been doing with the children. And quite often, that instead of choosing a story we're going to teach, we start with a theme. And then we look and see which Bible story we can fit into that theme, we can use to illustrate that theme, which is a different way around. And I know a lot of the programs which we have for Sunday schools or for children's meetings are based on Bible stories, which is fine, but they don't make it relevant very often, you know? So, we need to teach them the whole gospel. And the whole gospel is also the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus said, let the children come to me and don't hinder them. One of the ways we can hinder children from coming to Jesus, to having an encounter with him, is by not teaching them the whole gospel. And there are many, many people who don't teach children about the Holy Spirit, except maybe the story about how he came in the upper room. And I believe if we withhold the person of the Holy Spirit from the children, that we are hindering them. We need to give them the whole gospel. I have a few questions for you. I'm going to project them, and I want you to get into small groups of Oh no, I haven't got that. I haven't got those on there. I have them here. I will tell you the questions. I want you to get into small groups of about six, something like that. Just turn your chairs around so you can get into a small group. And I want you to think about together. I will give you the first two questions now, and then I'll give you the second two in a moment, otherwise you won't remember them. And I just want you to talk together about, maybe somebody could write them down. And if you each group write down the question, then you can just go through them in your own pace. The first one is, do you know the Holy Spirit? Have you had a personal encounter with the Holy Spirit? This is the first question. If somebody in each group would write it, just write it down. You got that one? The next one is this. Listen to it first. If we're going to teach the children the whole gospel, that includes also teaching them about the Holy Spirit. Yeah? That's why you have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit yourself. Now, if you are walking in your daily life in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, if he's the companion who's walking around with you, and that is your experience of him in your daily life, then it's very easy to teach the children about that. You know, if the Holy Spirit is some vague part of the Trinity for you, then he'll stay that way for the children. I'll be going into that a bit more later on. But that's why children need the whole gospel. They need a complete diet. Now, if a child is just brought up on a one-sided diet, it won't be very healthy. If you think of the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath in the Old Testament, that he came there when during a famine, and because God worked through him, she was able to have a non-stop supply to make bread through the whole famine. Yeah? With her son. And it says in the Bible, shortly after the famine ended, her son died. And as I was thinking about that, and it doesn't say in the Bible, but I was thinking, if this was a young boy who was growing up, and he'd been on a one-sided diet the whole famine, time of the famine, just eating bread, he wouldn't have grown up to be very healthy. And maybe, it doesn't say in the Bible, but I think maybe that was the reason that shortly after the famine ended, he died, because he'd been on a one-sided diet too long. And if we keep our children on a one-sided diet of just telling them the story of Noah and his ark and David and Goliath and the other great stories we love telling our kids, which is good, but if we just keep them on that diet, they are going to die spiritually. We have to have the faith and the belief that God has much more for them. No, he wants them to have a complete diet. So, we have to teach them by hearing. We also need to teach them by seeing things. You know, the percentage of what you remember, what you hear, see, and do. It means that you have to use some sort of visual aid, or a sketch like we did with Noah just now. Yeah, that's also visual. I like using visual aids, and we are very blessed in our country because we can get hold of a lot of things, you know, which probably wouldn't be available here. One of the things I like using for the children to describe that God speaks through the ears of your heart, we can get balloons, which are heart-shaped in Holland. And we can also get big plastic ears, which exactly fit on that balloon heart. I mean, not made for it, but I use it for that. And that lets the children see, you know, God speaks through the ears of my heart. But another don't use a visual aid like this for the 4 or 5 year olds. Because they cannot connect that. I mean, they see literally and they think literally I have ears on my heart, which is the pump in your body. So they would not understand what you're talking about. You know, this sort of thing, which is a symbolic thing, you can only use when the children develop that part when they're 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah? So you can use all sorts of visual things. You can, you know, you're creative. I have a couple of things I want to demonstrate to you this morning, which are very simple, and which you can use as a visual aid. One is to demonstrate, for example, what is important to build bread. Huh? Anita, would you like to come and help me, please? Okay. Okay. The word for spirit in the Bible, the Greek word which is used is ruach. And that is the same word which means breath or spirit. So, in fact, what the Holy Spirit does when he comes into us, he breathes into us the breath of God and makes us strong. Yeah? This is a balloon. Yeah? If it doesn't have any breath in it, any air in it, then it's not what it's made for. It's not meant to look like this. No? And you are not meant to function without the breath of God in you. Then you'll just be like this, empty. You won't get into the destiny God has for you. Okay. You can also be blown up with the air of God, or with a bit of the Holy Spirit in you. You know, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. Yeah? But he is not yet Lord and Master of every part of your life. You're not filled. So then you look like this. It looks okay on the outside. Yeah? But when the Holy Spirit comes, he's like living water. He's like water. Okay. This is full of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it is water, but he's full of the Holy Spirit. Why do we need this? Maybe you could help as well, Cora. If you could, in case of damages, this is that we don't use that one. That one goes on the second thing. And if you could take this. Yeah, we don't need that one. Okay, what happens if we get an attack from the enemy? Okay, what happens when, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, and you get an attack, it's not going to not happen, you've gone. Okay. The enemy has won. What happens if you are now filled with the Holy Spirit, you're full of God's Spirit, you're alive for Christ, you're walking in your destiny, and then the attack of the Holy Spirit comes? What happens then? Okay. Okay. He doesn't have a chance. Okay, thank you. You see? That's why we and our kids need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Simple. A simple visual aid. You see, because the enemy is going to attack us, we know that he attacks the kids at all areas, whether they're at school, whether they're at home, whatever's happening, they will be attacked. And if they are not filled with the Holy Spirit, he's going to win. And they're going to go, poof. Yeah? So, this is a visual aid you could use if you're teaching the children about being filled with the Holy Spirit. You have to explain that he doesn't pour water into them. Because some children would think, because there's water in that balloon, But when I'm going into teaching about the Holy Spirit more later on, but one of the things I teach the children is all the symbols in the Bible which are used to describe the Holy Spirit. One of them is water. You see? So you could explain, that's the symbol of one of the symbols in the Bible used to explain that, the Holy Spirit. Okay. So that's a very simple, you can get balloons here, I think. Yeah? So, doesn't cost much, simple, and quite clear. I have another one. And you could use this in different settings. For example, if you are teaching the children that Jesus wants to set them free from bondage, whatever that may be, whether that's sin, whether that's demonic oppression, you could use this for that. Okay, I want two very brave people. And it would be handy if you're not too big in this case, because otherwise we won't manage. So two people who are brave who said, I will come and help. And you're not too big. Yeah, a bit smaller ones. Yeah? Fine? Okay, another one about the same size. Okay. Okay, and now I need four other people, good children who want to come and help. No, it doesn't matter what size you are. Okay, four people. Okay, if you would stand on this side, please. No, one of you and one of you here. Okay. So I need, you're for this one. I need another two people, please. Come on, children. Yeah, okay. Now, you see, what's going to happen is you must stand very still with your hands down by your side, straight. Yeah? Okay. You turn around and face all the other children, please. And you are each going to get a toilet roll of paper. And you are going to pack them in right up from the top to bottom in the toilet paper. And you must not move, okay? So even their head. It's easier with children because they're smaller. Yeah? So I hope we'll have enough with two each to get them packed in. Okay, so then while it's happening, it's great fun, And you are explaining to the children, you see, what happens when you sin, when demons attack you or whatever, you get into bondage. And this is what happens, you see? Okay, so if you each take a roll of paper, and one can start at the top and one can start at the bottom, it doesn't matter, just as long as you know what you're doing. And, just start. Yeah? Don't put it too hard because it'll break. Everything has to be packed. Don't use too much in one place, otherwise... No, he doesn't need to breathe. That's okay. We'll raise him from the dead at the end. You can walk around doing it. It's sometimes easier, you know. If you don't go, you can go the same direction. Oh, no, you can't now. You started, but... Okay, we do it a competition. Who's done first, of course? So you cheer this one on and you cheer this one on. Come on. And don't move, eh, mummy? Or whatever you're called. Okay. This one was finished. You can carry on till he's finished, yeah? Okay. And don't move, eh? You just stand still. Okay, just keep standing still. Okay. Okay, so, children, this is what happens when you are bound up by Satan and by sin. You can't move into the destiny God has for you. And that's why Jesus came to die on the cross so that we can be set free from sin, set free from the devil. And it is your choice whether you want to accept that for yourself or not. Okay. Would you like to be set free?
Yes.
Would you like to be set free?
Yes.
Okay. So it's your choice. You have to say, I want to be set free. Okay. The first one to get rid of all his bindings. Yes, go. Get rid of them. Okay, thank you very much. Sorry about the mess. Okay, also a simple... But you were all watching, yeah? We had attention of all of you. Yeah? Thank you very much. So, sometimes you have to be a bit creative in these things. But it's very, very important part of working with children to make things visual. You know, they'll get to, then they won't forget this one. No. As long as they don't just remember the toilet paper and forget what it was all about. Because that is one danger, that you'll spend so much of your time doing something like this, and then just a bit of time just explaining what it was all about. So remember, if you use something like this, you must make sure the children understand, you know, what it was all about. Yeah? That's very important, because we have a guy in our church who's very, very creative, and he's teaching the 4 or 5 year old children. And he uses a lot of visual aids. And sometimes he uses so many that the children honestly have no idea what it's all about. You know, they have a great time, but they don't connect the visual aids to what the teaching is about, because it's too much. So you have to make sure that it's also, that's why it was important to know something about the psychological development of children, so that your visual aids will be relevant to that age group. Yeah? So for younger children, you can't use much with symbols because they don't connect that at all. Yes? Okay, so it's very important that the children also see the use of visual aids. I have a whole store of them at our church. I've got a whole office full of visual aids, which is... Oh, clowns, yeah, that... Sorry, this is a translation from the Dutch one. Clowns, probably, you probably wouldn't have here. I don't think. Would you have clowns? Yes, you have clowns? Okay. So you don't know what clams are? Yeah? Yeah, I don't use clams quite often, but sometimes we do have a girl in our church who I would call an anointed clown. If she comes and does some fun things with the kids, I mean, she's anointed. And that's what I meant. When you need the anointing, God anoints your natural gifts and talents to make them more effective. Yeah? And if you're a very creative sort of person, and you're anointed, God's going to use your creativity in a very special way, so it will have effect, have more effect, you know, than just you being creative. Okay. And I'll give a few more examples of... oh yeah, we had a weekend with our kids a while ago, and we were going to be teaching the whole weekend on the Holy Spirit. And someone came up with the idea of having a Holy Spirit market. So we made market stalls for the different gifts of the Spirit. The children helped doing that, and we had something on that market stall which was a symbol of that gift. For example, the children made this doll thing with plasters all over it, and that was for the gift of healing. It was great fun. So we had all these market stalls around in the room. And then I asked the children, which of you already function in gifts of the Spirit? And there were several of them that put up their hands, and I said, you know, what? She said, one girl said, I often have word and knowledge. Another one said, if I pray for people, they get better. And another one said, I have the gift of tongues. And so we had, by all of them, there was one child who already functioned in one of those gifts. Except, what's it called in English? Interpretation, sorry, I couldn't think of the English word. Interpretation of tongues. There was nobody. I have never functioned in... has anybody here ever functioned in the interpretation of tongues? You don't see it often. Oh, okay. Great. But none of the kids had. So there was one girl who said, I want to. So I thought, okay, we'll pray for you, and then you can go to the market stall of... what is this called? Interpretation of tongues. And so I prayed for her. Yeah, I said, I just want to release that gift in you. And so she went to that market stall. Now the idea was that children who needed healing, wanted a word of knowledge, or something like that, they went to that market stall and they were prayed for. Or they wanted themselves to reach out to function in that gift. So they went to the ones who already were functioning in the gift and asked them to pray for them. That was the idea. So we had about 100 children there, I think, and they were all going from one market stall to the other, and God was healing, and things were happening, and children who at that moment didn't yet speak in tongues went to the tongues market stall. And I thought, I'm going to go to the interpretation of tongues. So, and I mean, I speak in tongues, but that is my prayer language, yeah? And I've never had, as far as I know, a word of prophecy or whatever in tongues. So I went to the girl at the market stall for tongues and said, would you pray for me that God will give me a word of tongues as prophecy or that sort of thing, different than my prayer language tongues. So she prayed for me and she released that. So then I went on to the market stall of the girl from the interpretation of tongues, and just in faith, I just started speaking something. And it was completely different than my normal prayer language, tongue language. And this girl, suddenly, like this, she just told me in Dutch, this is what you said. And I thought, huh? You know. And then I went up to a few other leaders. I said, you must go and try that one. So they did the same. And every time it was completely different. The one was a word of prophecy, for something that was going to happen in their lives. But another thing was a word of encouragement. And it went on like this. I think about five or six of them had this. And after we were all finished, I went to this girl who was at the interpretation of tongues. And I said, I'm just interested to know, how does that work? You know, how did you know? And I think she was only about 10. She said, when you started speaking in that tongue language, I heard it in the Dutch language. And I thought, wow. And it was such a super day we had that day. You know, all these kids being filled, being set free, released in different gifts of the Spirit. And that evening we had a celebration. I mean, there was so much happening. Just through the children. I don't know how I got onto this subject. But that was about these. This was two of the market stalls. Okay, these are boxes which I have made for just with the name of each gift of the Spirit on them, which you can use just to support if you're teaching about gifts of the Spirit. This is a box I have with a mirror in the bottom, and you can only use it once with the same group of children. I ask the children, who wants, this is with the small ones, you can do this. Who wants to see who God loves the most? So all the children want to see that. So they come up, and I say, you mustn't, when you've seen it, you're not to tell the others. So they come up, and I open the box, and they look in, they see themselves in the mirror. You know? And they're, wow, I'm the one God loves the most. And it's very simple. But, I mean, you can't do that every Sunday, because after you've done it once with the same group, they know that. And the next thing is putting it into practice. You see, you can teach them by hearing. You can teach them what I said about visual aids, seeing. But the third way was by doing. And I don't know if you remember the percentages what I said, but if they hear, see, and do, you remember 80% of what has been taught. Yeah? So, because we are teaching them, the way I like to teach them is to teach them God's word and then make it relevant for their everyday life. They need to be able to put that, what they've learned, into practice. And the best way to practice is to do it in that same setting because you feel safe and that's where you've learned it. Yeah? If we're talking about healing, for example, get up and do it. We had three Sundays in a row that we were teaching about healing, and the first Sunday an adult came in from the, I don't know why she came in, I mean God sent her, but she didn't know we were talking about healing, and she'd had problems with her back for a long time. And so she'd heard that things were happening through the children, so she thought, well, a lot of adults have prayed for me, I'm going to the children today. So she came in, and we've been teaching on the healing. And, I teach the children how Jesus did it. And then, that he has given us that authority. You know, Jesus never prayed for the sick. He never prayed for them. He healed them. And that's different. Because we have the same authority. If we are full of His Spirit, He will work through us. We need to listen. Jesus did it a different way every time. So there's no standard way. We don't have a manual we can use except the Bible. So I teach the children, you just speak to that disease and you say it has to go in the name of Jesus because He is our authority. Yeah? And many of them have learned at home that you pray for the sick. So it's very difficult to unlearn that. So when you've got them young. So anyway, this lady came in, and I've just been teaching the children. Sometimes, if you have problems with your back, it's because your legs aren't the same length. And if Jesus lets your legs grow, or the one which is shorter, then your back will be healed. This lady came in, so the children started with, oh, we need to measure your legs. Okay. So she sits on the chair and stretches her legs out, and the children all, I mean, they all come, you know, when you've got 120 of them. The back ones can't see it anyway, but they all come. They want to see this. So her legs were about this, one was about this much. So I said, you know, then you're teaching the children while they're doing it. Yeah? So, okay. What do we do? We speak to the leg. You have to be specific which leg, because if the other one grows, you have a problem. And, so, okay, who has faith for this one? Yeah! A lot of hands, okay. Come on. Okay. And then you have to keep reminding them, don't pray. Speak. So they stand there, these kids, they speak healing in the name of Jesus. Right leg, which you have to be specific, yeah? Right leg, grow in the name of Jesus. Have you ever seen this happen? How many of you have ever seen a leg grow? Not many of you. Maybe we need to do some healing today. We'll see. But anyway, you could see it growing. And the kids say, yes, a bit more, big more, big more, big more. And it was finished. Okay. At that moment, at that time, I had been having trouble with my back. And I had been to the physio. No, I had an appointment that week to go to the physio for the first time, the physiotherapist, to see if I could have some exercises or whatever. She said, I'm going to first measure your legs. And I've never had problems before until this point. And I think it was about this much difference. One leg was longer than the other. And I've never had problems with it. Never known it. So she said, well, yeah, we can get special shoes for you, and I'll give you some exercises to do. But there's nothing else to do for it. And I thought, yes, we just had that Sunday. So the next Sunday, I said to the kids, okay, you remember that leg last week? I've got another leg for you. So I said, I mean, I have had this myself, so I know it's true. So I sat there, and the same thing happened. Left leg, grow in the name of Jesus. And they saw it grow. And I stood up, and it's a bit strange, because you've never had two legs the same length before, probably. And so your muscles have to sort of readjust. And then I thought, well, I don't have to go back to my next appointment at the physio. And I thought, oh, yes, I do. I have a witness for this. So I went back, and she said, oh, how have you been doing? You know, have you been doing your exercises? And I said, I'm healed. So she said, oh, yeah. You've been doing your exercises. But I said, no, I've been healed. I said, would you measure my legs again? And she did. She said, That's impossible. So I told her that children had prayed for me. Well, they hadn't prayed. I'm sorry. I told her that children had been used by God to heal me. And she said, So I had a whole chance to witness that. I was at a birthday, a celebration some friend's house, and I shared this with them, and this woman said, oh, my husband has a bad back. Can I send him next Sunday? So the next Sunday, he came into our children's meeting, and it was exactly the same. Now, I mean, their faith didn't need to be built up anymore. You know? So the same thing happened. But it was a teaching, and it was a coaching, and it was putting into practice. Yeah? So important. If they've once experienced this, I know that Anita told about an outreach they had from their church, and they went out with a chair onto the street because they wanted the people to sit down and have their legs measured them if they had back pain in the back. So anyway, the next Sunday, we've had three of these Sundays in a row. Their faith was so big. There was a child there who had very bad asthma. And this child said, asthma's no problem. You come up here and God's going to heal you. And so we teach them as well, you know, what couldn't you do with your condition? I mean, what was difficult for you? Now, a child with asthma, this one, she said, well, I couldn't run around the parking lot of the church. Then I would get restless. And so they said, okay, then we're going to send away the asthma. And one girl had a word of knowledge that it had come from a curse from the generations on that child. So she broke the curse, set her free, spoke healing. And she said, okay, now we're going out together. We're going to run around the parking lot. And we have quite a big parking lot at our church. It is quite big. I mean, we can get in 600 cars or something. So it's quite big. And they didn't come back, and they didn't come back. And I thought this child collapsed or something. Oh, you of little faith. That's my problem. Anyway, and that's our problem of us big people anyway. The children don't have that problem. They came back. The girl who had spoken healing was going, and the girl who had asthma came back. You know? You need to put it into practice with them. You know, don't just, they need to hear the word. They need to see it. And they need to practice it. Yeah? And then they won't forget it. We at the same weekend camp we had about the Holy Spirit, there was a girl, even the first evening we were there, and during the worship she came to me and she said, I have a word of knowledge for people with asthma, with eczema, you know eczema? But God wants to heal them. And so I said, okay, you have the word of knowledge, go ahead, you know. Here's the microphone, do something. So she said, I think everybody who has problems with either asthma or eczema, and eczema is quite a lot in Holland. A lot of children came up, about 20 of them, I think. And I know from my own family experience, that asthma and eczema are in the same group of illnesses, if I could call it like that. And quite often, the root cause comes from a generational thing, something in the past generations. Whatever it may be, you don't need to know what it is. But quite often, the root cause, and especially if there are more people in the family who have that. If there are your aunt or your brother, your mother or whatever, a whole people in the same family have the same things, asthma and eczema or whatever. And so I know from my own personal background, my mother had asthma, my great-grandfather had asthma, one of my sisters had very bad asthma, my mother had eczema. And when we started learning about this, it was from a teaching from Derek Prince, that we started hearing about the power of blessing and curse. And that this could be something in the family line, which we didn't know about, that was causing this in the family line. And the doctor says, oh, it's in the family, you know. That's nothing to do about it. And in our family, we started to break any curse which may have come in through the ancestors. What for reason? We don't know. You don't need to know. And from that moment, my sister, who had very, very bad asthma, was healed instantly. And the rest of them who'd had eczema were healed. So I know from my personal background that it can be something which is caused. So we started off by asking the children, you know, is it something which is in your family? And for a lot of them it was. So I then taught them about things that can come into a family through sin or whatever reason, from the grandparents or the great-grandparents or whatever. And very much so if there's occult things going on. There has to be an open door somewhere. I mean, it doesn't just come in. So we started, I explained this to the children. I said, we're going to start off by doing this. You know, I take them through step by step. You know, explaining this is how it works, this is what we're going to do, and now we're going to do it. Yeah? So we started breaking, from those children who said, you know, it's in more of the family, we started breaking off any curses which might have come in through the generations, and setting them free from that. So most of them were instantly healed. And for the others, the children just sent it away in the name of Jesus. I think all of them, except for about two, were healed. Now, especially the asthma children, they wanted to test it, because that's what we teach them to do. So again, they went outside and they were running around, and I sent a leader out with them because it was quite a lot of them, I thought, you know. they were running around, and the leader came back absolutely exhausted, and the children came back rejoicing. And there was one girl who wasn't healed. And she was allergic for a lot of things from the out of the nature. That's from nature, you know, trees and that sort of thing. And she didn't have asthma, but she had something, a hay fever, which we call it, which is an allergic thing. And she'd come forward because she wanted healing for that, but it didn't happen. And the next day, during worship, she suddenly got up and walked outside. So I saw this happening, and I said to one of the leaders, just go and see what she's going to do. Because we were in a, you know, in the middle of the country, and I didn't know whether she was walking away or whatever. So anyway, she walked out, and she went in between some trees, and she just sat there for a long time. And she came back, and she said, I've been healed. Because I couldn't have done that. I couldn't have sat there where I was sitting for that length of time without getting an allergic reaction. And she said, while we were worshipping, an angel came and touched my shoulder and told me to follow him. Once they have experienced these sort of things happening in practice, just let them go anywhere, you know? But we need to be there to teach them, to coach them, and to give them the opportunity to practice. Yeah? So we need to get them... Oh, I can do any break.
Someone really agreeing. I want to have a short break, and I want to explain something. I got the copies. I sneaked out and I copied the slides, and I want you to have something. We didn't have workbooks like we're used to with Equip and other courses, but I want you to have something so that you have these things that you can remember. Those who have, I've already said it, but maybe for those who are not here in the morning, we've just about doubled since morning. Have we? Yeah. Magnus, I see you looking around. Those who have signed in for the certificate, you can go to the, and we're going to do that now, you can go to the table and collect your copy. She will mark that you have received it. Those who have not signed in for the certificate, by the way, the Kimberly, as you are also signed in for that, those who have not been signed in for the certificate, you need to pay $2,000, which is a subsidized price. And then you can follow, and you can make your notes on the side of these slides. Is that good? Let's stand up so that we loosen our muscles, and you're free. For some few minutes, we go and walk, and we can collect our papers, and then we come back, and unless food is ready, but then we'll continue.
When we got into groups this morning, I gave you some questions about the Holy Spirit. Yeah? I just want to ask you, when you were talking about them in the group, when you heard what others were saying, what was your reaction? Did you think, oh, wow, I didn't know that. I don't have that relationship with the Holy Spirit. This is quite new for me. I mean, I know He is part of God, but I don't really have that relationship with Him, like having a companion. And when you were talking about, with the balloons, about being filled with the Holy Spirit, yeah, I've never experienced that before. Because if we're going to be doing these things with children, if we want to see our children functioning in healings, in miracles, if we want to see them preaching the word, if we want to see them being anointed by the Holy Spirit, we have to have that first. Yeah? And I just wondered, while things have been happening, while you've been hearing things, I believe that by some of you, God has started to speak to you on the inside, you know? And a longing has started to grow in you for, wow, I need more of the Holy Spirit. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I would like to give that opportunity now, at this moment. If you say, okay, I know I'm a child of God, I've accepted Jesus, and I know the Holy Spirit came into my life when I did that, but I've never experienced what it's like to be completely full of the Spirit. And you would like that, because hearing all these things, God started waking you up on the inside. He started putting this fire in you. And you said, I need that. You know, I need to be filled with this Holy Spirit. I don't just want to be like an empty balloon. Okay, if there's any of you who say that at the moment, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, would you stand? We want to take time to minister to you. And maybe you say, I don't know anything, I don't know everything about the Holy Spirit at this moment. But I'm starting to realize that I need Him. I need to be filled. Okay. Wow. Anything can happen when the Holy Spirit comes. You can start laughing, you can start crying, you can maybe just fall on the floor because the power of God is so strong that you can't keep standing up, or you fall into your chair, whatever. Anything can happen. And it's okay, because the Holy Spirit is good. You know, God, Jesus said that if a good father comes, his son comes to him and asks him for bread, will he give him something else? Will he give him a stone? And if he asks for fish, will he give him a scorpion? No. Because God only gives us good things. And He wants to give you His Holy Spirit this morning. And I believe He wants to pour it out onto you. I suggest you just take time, because, you know, if there are things you need to confess first, I want to give time to do that, because He won't come into a dirty house, you know. It has to be a clean house. So I'd like to give just a moment for the Holy Spirit just to touch things in there which you haven't yet confessed, which you know are wrong, and maybe you need to do that now so that you are completely clean on the inside. So we're going to take just a moment to let the Holy Spirit do that. This is just individually for yourself. That you have promised that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and that you are just to forgive us our sins. Thank you, Father, that you are making us clean on the inside so that we will be a clean house in which your Spirit wants to come and live. Father, I just pray that as your Holy Spirit falls on us at this moment, that we may be willing and ready to receive anything you have for us. I suggest you keep your eyes closed, because then you won't be distracted by anybody around you. It may be that God gives you spontaneously the new tongue language, a secret language between you and Him. Maybe it won't happen spontaneously, but it may. But everything that God wants to give you this morning is good. And if somebody's going to give you a gift, you put out your hands to accept it. So I suggest you just put out your hands in front of you, or however you want, just to accept that gift. You know, God, I want your Holy Spirit. I need the power of your Holy Spirit. I'm longing to be filled with your Holy Spirit. So come on me at this moment. Father, I just ask that you will
pour out your Holy Spirit in this whole room this morning. That you will pour out your Holy Spirit like you did at Pentecost. That we will be full of your Spirit. So just receive from him. We're going to just come around and pray for you. Just to bless what God's doing. You can ask for the Holy Spirit yourself. You need to ask him yourself. For Father, give me your Spirit. And he will come. Expect him to come. So we'll just come around and just lay hands on you while you are receiving. And just expect God to give you his Spirit. Keep receiving from him, even if it's been prayed for you, just keep receiving because he's got much more for you. I believe his Spirit is going to come like waves over you, that it's going to be getting stronger. The more you ask him, the more you start receiving, the more powerful those waves of the Holy Spirit will come over you. And like he came like a rushing wind, expect him to come. And he will come over you. Just keep receiving and keep receiving. He's got so much more. He's got so much more. And just expect it. Just expect it to happen. Just keep receiving from him. Father, come with your fire this morning. Pour out your fire, Father, and set everyone on fire for you with your Holy Spirit. Come with your fire. Come with your fire, Father. More, more, more. More of your fire. Set our hearts on fire for you, Lord. Set our hearts on fire for you, Lord. More of your glory. Let it come like waves over us, Father. Come like waves over us. Thank you, Father, what you're doing. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your fire. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your love. We just receive from you. Just thank you, Father. Thank you what you're doing. Just keep receiving everything he has for you. Receive him. Receive him. And just let him come. Don't hold back. If you speak in tongues, also if you're still sitting down and you speak in tongues, start speaking out loud in your tongue language. And those of you who have just received the Holy Spirit, ask him to give you that gift of tongues so that you can use that for your prayer life. It means you have to open your mouth because you will be speaking through your own mouth and the words will come out of your mouth. But we're going to start speaking in that tongue language now. Just let it come. If it's new, if it seems strange, that doesn't matter. It's okay. Father, we just want to be on fire for you. We just want to be on fire for you, that we won't be able to stop. Father, that your spirit will just so love being with us, that he's just bubbling through us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for who you are. Thank you what you're doing at this moment. Thank you for your glory. Anybody who would just like to share shortly, because the meal is ready, but is there someone who would like to share just shortly what happened, what God has done, what you felt happened? You don't need to have to feel anything, but sometimes it helps to share things with each other. You know, this is what God's done, and I know this has happened. And is there anybody who would like to share this? You don't need to be shy. Just usually if one comes, the rest comes with. You don't need to. But sometimes it is good to tell somebody, you know? Because then it's, you know, you're proclaiming action. You would like to share? Okay. Would you like to come here, please? Because otherwise, I've only got the...
Praise God. Let's share something about children this morning. In the house where I sleep, one girl. Yesterday I was feeling so much back pain. Then I told her that you just pray, God will touch you and surely God will heal you. But in the morning she just came and told me, this is a big girl, she's going to senior school, that mommy, at night I saw a man touching me and that man told me that you're going to get healed. And I said, that is so great. So when they're telling us about our children, when they tell us something, we have to believe and respond. It is really true. I just encourage her that yes, you will get your healing from God. That's what I just realized this morning.
Is there someone who would like to share something, what happened in them now, at this moment, while you were receiving the Holy Spirit? Yes? Now, there's power in our testimony to each other.
Praise God. As we were praying, I felt the Spirit was telling me to surrender the fear, to surrender all what was in me. So I surrendered to the Lord. Sometimes when it comes to me, I fear a lot, but God was telling me to surrender not to fear. So I said, God, take it over. But after that, I felt a cold breeze coming on me. Then I saw something like, I don't know how to explain it, but it was like water running, that good water running on a stone, on stones. I think, yeah, almost like waterfall. I saw it like that, and I believe God has refreshed me, and
I'll move on. God bless.
Anyone else like to share something?
Praise God. I feel this has been a very great moment for me. You know, I felt the Holy Spirit asking me to pick up myself from a muddled place of so many funny things. And after that, I actually felt very, very refreshed. You know, I've been muddled with so many things within me, but I felt myself filled with the Holy Spirit, and I feel relieved. I feel I'm a new person. I don't talk much.
Okay.
Praise God. I'm so grateful for this seminar. During a short period of prayer, during that time when I was praying, I was convicted of my own personal bad ways of living. According to yesterday, I confessed of certain things, and as I was praying, I was told to denounce them. After denouncing them, I started stressing, and I fell backwards on the chair. Luckily, the seat was there. I fell on the seat. So, from there, I feel that the Almighty Father has relieved me of my sinful way of life. Thank you very much.
Okay, anybody else? Yeah. Okay, you have the next one, okay?
Praise God. Praise Jesus, someone. I'd like to thank God for what He has done for me. Maybe one person or the other might have come here because you had somebody tell you to come here. But maybe I've come here because of what God really put in my heart. You know, I've loved seen children go with me. Like just it was said yesterday, that if you're going above, may you go with the children. When I was there, you know, I just told God that, God, you know what is in my heart. I have a personality where I can't really, you know, that these people can make children shout and joy. But when I just have my own, I reach something they can shout, but when I reach somewhere, I remember and I just keep quiet. And I just felt God giving me some power. I just felt, for me it was not a coldness, but it's like you're wrestling off something out and you stretch up and like there is something, some power inside like this. And after that, I think I'm more confident right now. I just feel good in myself. And I just want to sound this to everybody. Let not the devil just allow us to take our time here. Look, when I stopped using this word that, you know, when you're in church and you say, I've wasted a lot of time, let's go to another thing. You've just spent time, you know. Let the devil not come and make us spend our time here and at last go and do nothing. You know, I told the people who came with me yesterday that for me I've come with you here. But if you go back with me and you sit down, I'll do it alone. So I'm just thank God that He's giving me that confidence. That even if everybody who has come with me is not going to work, I've decided in my heart. May God bless you.
Yeah, you come.
Praise God. I greet all of you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sincerely, right now, as we're in the mood of prayer, I felt something called enter to my body. then all of a sudden there was automatic movement of my lips, and I was there. I could not control it as much as I wanted to do it. It was actually in charge of me, and as it cooled down, I started praying, of which it was so rapid that I could not actually control as I used to do it. So I realized something was in control. I mean, so as I was also casting out demons and all that in the mighty name of Jesus, I could also see fire. This is, I think, let me call it a tradition. Our tradition when praying, always close our eyes. So I could see, when I cast out, I could see fire moving along with something dark away. Amen. So that is what I encountered during currently, just right now after this.
Okay, just.
As we're praying, I began repenting. I said, God, forgive me for the monopolizing on the same method of teaching my children this year. I promise to change the way I've been teaching. So I felt that burden in my heart. But as I was continuing, I felt like the whole body was electrified. Up to now, I'm not myself yet. So after that, I saw I was given two children, small children. I was carrying on this side, and I was carrying on this side, and more children were down. I was asking, how can I now help the other ones, because I'm now carrying this.
I find it difficult sometimes. I received something as I was praying, but I sat down now. Some powers were telling me, you go and testify. Others are saying, just me, not you, young, this is bad, be young. And I love you. So I when we were praying, I said, like, I'm relieved from the burdens. The burdens that were disturbing me. Yeah, that's what I did.
Thank you. God is good.
I needed to sit, but I have to speak something. Hallelujah. As we started praying, actually, as we were requested to stand, I also stood. And I think I stood after everybody had stood. I felt I should also stand. At first I said, but I am always sealed. I think I shouldn't stand. I stood with the eagerness. I had a desire in me. And as I started praying, I was only praying and saying, God, you should refill me, refill me. And I put up all the hands, expecting. And as I started praying, all of a sudden, I felt something filling me from the head up to the fingers, everywhere up to the feet. And all of a sudden, I was feeling as if I was somewhere. So it is what I have experienced. May God bless you.
Something just entered, but my body began shaking, and some wind, cool wind, passed me. But when I sat down, I just felt my body going down. I sat down. I feel up to now, I'm just energized. Then Papa Ken again prayed for me. I'm not in myself yet.
This is church, okay?
before they requested us to stand, I was there seated, but I was comparing myself with the fishermen, and there was again another sweet boy, but now God has anointed him and is now a powerful preacher. I was comparing myself with them and I said, God, if you anointed a street boy and he is now powerful and you bless the fishermen, why don't you do it to me also? And when I stood up, by the time they said that we confess, I was asking God to give me the power to heal the sick and to drive out the demon. And I received it.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Well done, Beryl. Well done, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are here to... Okay, it's like this. God wants to do a thing. God wants to do a thing. Elisha's been teaching. What do you give if you don't have? God has to work through us. He has to do a work in us. He wants to do it because He wants to work through you. Because you are here. You are here. You are available. And if you are available, there are very few, eh? Who say, send me. There are few. Most people want to enjoy just everything. Relax. But we are here. We say, Lord, we are here. Use us. God wants to touch you. I think we may have at least one other opportunity of ministry time. If you want to receive from God one thing, if you want to receive, you need to say, Mpa. Mpako. I want it. It doesn't have to be religious, but just tell the Holy Spirit what you want. Tell Him what you want. Tell Him what you want. He wants to give it to you. He is here. It may not look like much. The ceiling might not be painted. The floor might not be shiny, but Jesus is here. And when the anointing is here, don't delay. Tell Him, I want. I want. That's all He wants to hear. What do you want? A fresh touch. What do you want? You want healing? What do you want? Jesus always asked the people that came to Him, what do you want me to do for you? Very simple. And He was here. If you didn't receive, I was praying for people, but I received. I should also be here testifying. I really felt Jesus touching me. I really felt Him touching me. And I always cry. He's here. When He's here, receive. We're going to do this again sometime. It's very important. It's very important. Some of you I prayed with, I forced you to be in the receiving mode. Some of us we are, when we are praying, we are very reluctant. And I want to tell you, it is important, if I'm a rich man, which I'm not, but if I would be, if I was a rich man, then you would come before me and you would say, what? You would say what? Huh? You would say exactly what the children always say. What do the children always say? Mzungu. Huh? You know it. We the Wazungu, we know it because the children, you teach the children to say, Mzungu, give me money. Uh-huh. The big Mzungu was here. Just now. The big Mzungu was here, but you are not a child. You need to become a child. Some of us, our position, maybe we are the Sunday school leader, maybe we are the pastor, maybe we are someone is watching us, you know, someone who's sitting behind you knows you, and it is obstructing you to receive. If you don't ask, you know it. You are children inside, but you are pretending to be big. Become the child. Become. Become. Yes. We should all become like little children. Not just children, little children. Because they don't have anything obstructing them. They have no obstruction. When the Lord is there, they run. They don't wait. They run. Luzungu, give me. You see Jesus as the big Luzungu. He has. And you don't. And you want. Be like a child. Luzungu, give me spirit. Jesus, fill me. Holy Spirit. And it is not an it. It is a Him. Holy Spirit, fill me. And don't be embarrassed when it is time. Next time when children offer to pray for you, say, yes, I want it. And let whoever it is who has something to give, when the Holy Spirit is there, receive it. Receive it. Don't be ashamed. Receive it as a child. As a child. A child doesn't care that the rest is all looking. They don't care. They just go, yes, Mbako. That's lying. Food is ready, it's getting cold. Yesterday, I want to thank you. You know, I'm your host with Grace, but, you know, Grace is leaving me to do all of this, which is normally not my thing. I normally don't like to hold this thing. I normally sit where God is sitting, hiding. But I believe God is also pulling me out of it. And if God is doing anything with me, then maybe that. I know yesterday I want to compliment you. You did so well. I was sitting here and I've been seeing places, conferences, weddings, funerals, what have you, and it is chaos when people go for food. You did so well. I'm not going to say anything. We are going to go to eat, and we do the way we know to do things, nice and orderly. We just start from in front. All right? Bon appetit. We need to pray. Who's going to pray for the food? I want the young man to come. Oh, Charles, I was looking at somebody else. Charles, you're welcome.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to say thank you so much for the good moment that you had with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling us, for God. This afternoon, we pray as we commit the meal under your hand. We pray that may you bless it, sanctify it, let it be worthy, holy, to give us the strength to do your work as a minister. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Now I can say bon appetit. What time are we coming back? We're taking 45 minutes. Is that okay? Beryl, what do you say? Yeah? All right.
We just want to encourage you, please. We discovered yesterday that people don't eat meat, so today we don't have meat for you. And I don't know if we have anyone who doesn't eat beans. Hands up. That is, there are two people, and they need deliverance free. So we're going to pray for them for deliverance. I will start with those three people. We have cabbages for you. You make sure you eat them. But we want to just encourage you. Yesterday, the sample was saying, add me food. And they would add you, and then you don't finish it. And we had a whole tray of food that we didn't know where what to do with it. And yet you had already, like, chewed it, yum, yum, did.
So we're going on further where we stopped this morning. We haven't actually even got through the first session. So I'll go a bit quicker. We were talking about putting things to practice. If you have a boy who wants to go and play football. And do you have a Tororo football club? Or not? Yeah? Okay, if you have a boy who wants to go and learn to play football, and he goes to the club, and the coach teaches him the rules. Okay, you have to know the rules of football, otherwise it's a bit difficult. But he goes back the next time to the club, and he gets taught the rules again. And he goes back again, and he gets taught the rules again. And this goes on for 6 months. I think if you have a young boy who's gone every week thinking he's going to play football and just hears the rules, then in the end he'll say, I don't want to go there anymore. Yeah? What he needs, if he's going to learn to play football, is a coach who will teach him the rules and then go out onto the field and play with him. Yeah? And that's what we need with the children. We need to teach them the word and then go out on the field and do it with them. You see, it's not just enough for the children to have a teacher. They need good teachers. I think the best people should be by the children, actually. I think we should have the best teachers with the children. And the best worship people we should have worshipping with the children. We should have the best evangelists with the children. Why? Because they're the good ground. You know? Okay. So they need a teacher and a coach. I think we need to learn how we're going to do it with the children, how Jesus did it. You see, when Jesus went around healing the sick, raising the dead, whatever he did, teaching, he took his disciples along with him. And he showed them how to do it. They were with him all the time. They heard everything he taught. They saw how he healed the blind. One time it was by putting mud in his eye. Another time it was by spitting in his eye. And every time it was different. You know, one time he had to forgive sins before he healed somebody. Another time he had to cast out demons before he healed somebody. Every time Jesus did it, it was different. And the disciples watched. And they learned by watching. Okay, the next step, Jesus did it, and the disciples helped them. They did it together. You know, Jesus said, come on, John, you're coming up to help me this time. Something like that. So, the first step is Jesus did it and the disciples watched. The second is that Jesus did it and the disciples helped. The third was, Jesus said, you can go and do it yourself and I'll help you. Yeah? And the fourth thing, Jesus sent them out on their own. In the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the way we have to be coaching the children. We have to show them how Jesus did it. We need to help them to do the same thing. And then we have to send them out. Yeah? This morning we talked about legs growing on. I mean legs not growing on, but legs growing in length. Is there anybody here at this moment, because this is a demonstration, like you have to do it with the children. Like you can do it with the children. So they can see. Has anybody here got problems with their back? Yeah? Okay. Do you know if your legs are the same length? Never been tested. And do you know if your legs are the same length? Okay. Would you both like to come up here? We're going to demonstrate this. Okay. Anita, please. I do need you. Could you put 2 chairs here? This is exactly the same way as I teach the children. So if you'd like to sit here, yeah, and sit right at the back, with your back toward, on the back of the chair, so you're sitting, you know, not leaning, sitting up as straight as you can. Yeah? Okay, would you come and help me, please? And would you come and help? I want you to go to Ken, Mr. Uncle Ken, and you stay here. Okay, would you just lift up his legs? Would you put your legs up? Lift them up and see if, you have to take your shoes off actually, it's easier. Just see if his legs are the same length. You have to sit right well at the back of the chair and put his heels together, and he's in the same heel. Just want to measure and see if your legs are the same length. Because sometimes, if somebody has back problems, quite often, it's because the legs aren't the same length. It doesn't have to be that. But I always test this first. Okay, would you look and see if they're the same length? Which is longer? That one? Okay. And what do you think here? Are they the same or?
This is shorter.
Yeah, okay. Okay, no, stay like that, please. Okay, because it's got to grow. Or not? Or do you want to be longer or shorter at the end of it? Okay, I would like to, who are the youngest ones here? How many teenagers do we have here? How many teenagers do we have? I'd like, you're a teenager, how old are you? Okay, and the other one, how old are you? Okay, would you both come here? They're the ones that have the faith. Okay. Yeah, okay. So, if you would like to go this side, and you come here. Okay, you have a look at yourself. You just check that one leg is longer than the other. Yeah? Put the heels together and then... Okay. So, which one, we decided this one was shorter, okay? So you have to speak to the left, you have to speak to the left leg. This is the left one, yeah? And it'll grow. Okay? Not this one, because otherwise it'll be... Okay. So, you know, you are a child of God, okay? Yeah? God can work through you. Yeah? Yes? Or not? Okay. The Holy Spirit in you can work and do a miracle. Do you believe that? Both of you? Yes? Oh, yes! Okay. Okay, so we're not going to pray. We're going to use the authority which you have because you're a child of God, and you're going to speak to the leg which has to grow. This is the left one, and that is also the left one. Okay, so you just speak to the leg and you say, left leg, in the name of Jesus, grow. Okay, you can touch it, you can ask the leg if you would mind her touching it, because quite often you should ask that. Okay, and you're using authority, okay? It doesn't mean you have to shout, but you don't know, in the name of Jesus, please grow. No, that's not authority. You have authority, and this is fun, you know? Okay. Get on and do it. Yeah? Yeah, I don't hear you anymore. Your authority seems to have disappeared. Okay. Every now and again you can measure it with the one who's holding the leg to make sure, see if it, what's happened. Are you still sitting? You're still sitting okay, yeah? Okay, just watch the, if it's happened, anything's happened yet. Okay, all stand up and help them. Yeah, if you all stand up, you can help them. And we're going to use a communal authority now. You keep going, because you're the ones doing it. Okay. And you're just going to keep speaking to the left leg, in the name of Jesus, grow. Yeah? All of you. Okay.
Can you measure it again? You look at the heel. What's
happening at the heel? Can you see any difference? Yes? Okay. And you? Yeah? Are they the same now? Okay. Yeah, sure. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Okay, so just stand up. See if you feel, I don't know what quite, it wasn't all that much difference, but see if you feel a difference the way you stand. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. Just sort of shake your feathers and... Yeah? Is it feeling, it's back and better? Okay. Okay. You see, it's that easy. And we need the children because they have the faith. Yeah? So, that's putting it into practice. And sometimes people who have pain in their shoulders or in their neck, is it because their arms aren't the same length? So the same thing, you can check that. That is sometimes. I mean, it isn't always. There can be other causes for it. But that is sometimes. So anybody here who has pain in their shoulders, neck area, I mean, not every now and again when you've done something, but as a sort of chronic thing? No? Okay. So, you see, what we need to do is to teach the children that they have the authority, but we always need to make sure that they know that Jesus did it in a different way every time. So, we can't use a method with healing or with anything we do spiritually. You have to listen to what God says at this moment. Maybe you just need to speak with authority to get rid of a headache. You know, headache, just go in the name of Jesus. But maybe that person is so stressed that the headache is the cause of stress. And you may have to deal with the stress. And then the headache will go by itself. Because we can get rid of the symptoms and just leave the cause behind. You understand the difference? Yeah. And that's why we need to listen to, and Jesus, you remember the man who came through the roof, Jesus had to forgive his sins. And then Jesus said, get up and walk. Yeah? So we have to be listening, and that's why it's so important for us and for the children to learn to listen to God, how he speaks. Because then it's so automatic, you know, and we're not Jesus. We don't have that same relationship with Father which he has, but that's what he wants. You know, that's what he wants us to have. And sometimes you have to do stupid things. The first time I was in Uganda, I was speaking in Kampala at a women's conference, and they came up for healing, and the lady who came to me, she was deaf. And, you know, I asked God, you know, God, please, what? And he said, spit in her ear. She didn't speak English. And there I was, without a translator, God saying, spit in her ear. And I thought, well, I can't do that. You know, you don't go round spitting in people's ears. So I said, God, you must have made a mistake, you know. Or I heard you wrong, or whatever. And he kept saying, well, just spit in her ear. So I looked around if somebody could translate for me, but everybody was praying for people, so there was nobody. So in the end, I did it like this. It's a bit cheating, but God has humor. And she was healed. I could have ignored that and just said, be here in the name of Jesus. But I don't think that would work, because I wasn't obeying what God said. So we need to teach the children the different ways which Jesus heals people. Just go through the Gospels if you want to teach on healing, and take a different one each time, and just teach that children, you know, Jesus did it this way, Jesus did it that way, he did it like this. Sometimes the blind man, once the blind man had to go and wash it himself afterwards, so it was a phase thing, you know, it wasn't instant. But we need to be alert, to listen to what God's saying, and we need to teach the children to do that as well. and we need to check. I teach our children that if they think they have to do something strange, like spitting in somebody's ear or something, just come and check it first, you know. There's always a leader there. So just go to the leader and say, this is what I teach the children. I have the feeling I should do this. And if the leader says, okay, go and do it, okay. I don't want our children to go around spitting in people's eyes and rubbing mud in them and that sort of thing. Unless God says. You understand? So we need to be there to be a coach. Not to stop them, but we have to be listening to God as well, you know, okay, is it okay? I had once a boy, and he was praying for somebody who had cracked some vertebrae, so the bones in his back, and he had a lot of pain, and this boy was wanting to heal him. I was going to say pray for him, but I don't mean that. And he had the idea that this man had to jump up and down, which isn't the best thing to do if you've got cracked bones in your back. So he came to me and he said, I have really a feeling God saying he has to do that. And I had the same feeling, you know. I felt, my heart said it's okay. And if it hadn't been, I would have had a problem probably, you know. So this man started jumping up and down, and God healed him. But we have to be wise. Yeah? Just don't go around rubbing mud in everybody's eyes you meet, you know. Don't teach the children to do that. But just make room for them to go and do it. And I hope the time will come when our pastors ask for the children to come in when they want people healed. That doesn't happen very often. But that's what my heart is, you know, pastors calling the children. I remember we had a guest speaker come from the States to our church, and he is a children's minister in the States. And the children were at their own meeting, and then he said at the end of the adult meeting, he said, I would like all the children to come back and pray for everybody who needs healing. And so everybody lined up sort of around the hall, and the children went around healing them. And I remember one lady said to one of the I heard her say to somebody, the child prayed for her, and she said, oh, what a cute child. I nearly shot her at that moment. I said, this is a champion, you know. What a dear little child. I'll go to some adult person afterwards to let them pray properly. That is the way some adults think if a child prays for them. I got so cross with that. Holy anger, of course. Now, you understand what I mean? We need our own eyes to be open, but we, in our churches, we need everybody to wake up. You know, and see, because there's a power down there we're just missing. I mean, it's there, ready to go, and we just keep it in another room. Okay, but that's my frustration. Okay, so Jesus sent them out to do it on their own, and he said, I give you authority over the demons and everything. Yeah? Okay. There are some spiritual keys which you need if you're going to be working with children and wanting to see them move in the things of the Holy Spirit. You need yourself a knowledge of God as Father. I mean God as God the Father. I suggest that you do a study of his names, which every name of God is part of his character, part of his nature. And I've been doing this with our children for the last few months. We've been looking at the names of God, going into a study on them. These are the older kids. I mean, you have Jehovah Jireh. You have all the names. I mean, it isn't just God, you know. Every time in the Old Testament, not every time, but many times, he uses a different name. And each name of God is part of his character. And once you start discovering that, you will see, wow, God is so big. His character is just everything. And I think it's interesting to do that with, if you've got children for 10, 11, 12 year olds, to get into something like that. You need yourself to have an knowledge and experience of God as a good father. One of the things which I see happening with children is that they find it very difficult to accept God as a good father because of the example they've had from their biological earthly father. And they know that God is good. We tell them that. And we let them say it. But it doesn't get into their heart because their thoughts of a father is anything but good. And this is something God wants to reveal to the children themselves. But he needs to start with us. He needs to start with us, giving us a revelation in our hearts about what it means that God is our Father. And if you have ever been struggling with really experiencing God as being a good Father because of your example with your own father, then just pray and ask him to reveal himself to you. Take time to do that. Yeah? Because the children need that. There are so many children who have feelings of abandonment, who have been left, who have... And I'm not saying every time that the father is not there physically, but often they're not there for the children. You know? They're out working, they're caring for them in that way, but they're not there as a father should be. And children are crying out for father figures. They need fathers. And we have a few people in our church who said, I want to be as a father for those children who don't have a father. And this is in the flesh, but we need to get to know ourselves, accept God, to really experience him as a loving father. The spiritual key, number two, is to believe the statements which Jesus said about children. Matthew 18, Jesus says a lot of things about children. He says, theirs is the kingdom. The kingdom belongs to the children. That means everything that belongs to the kingdom belongs to the children. I mean, it's part of them. It's part of what God's planned for them. And he says it's easier for them. It's easier for them, but they need us. They need us as coaches. And Jesus says, don't look down on them, because their angels are always seeing the face of the Father. I know it's sometimes part of a culture that children are looked as being, you know, worthless. We need them later when they're bigger, but, you know, they're not that worth that much. But that's not the way God sees them. He says, don't look down on them. He says, in the same chapter, they can be lost. He's talking to the people, and he says, I won't read it now because it'll probably take too much time. But read that part of Matthew 18. Write it down and read it for yourself. Children can be lost. They can believe, but they can also be misled. If we tell them things which aren't true, they will believe, but they will be misled if it's not according to God's truth. Jesus says they are an example to us, and he says they are, in fact he says they are more important than a leader. Because the kingdom belongs to them, and in God's kingdom, it's an upside down kingdom. The first is the last. The least is the most. You know, it's quite different than our worldly situation. You know, you have a leader, and that's the big boss, and then you have people underneath. The one who comes first, okay, it'll be first, but Jesus said the first will be the last, and the last will be the first. His kingdom has completely different values, and it's a sort of upside down kingdom from what we know. His values are completely different. And in his kingdom, children are the most important. Spiritual key number three is that you need a working knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Okay. How many of you have ever done a deep Bible study from the Old Testament through to the New Testament about the Holy Spirit.
Nobody?
Okay. Get onto the internet if you have access to the internet and start doing a study about the Holy Spirit. Because he was there in Genesis 1, in creation, right through the Old Testament and through the New Testament. We need to know these things. We need to know who he is, what he's like. We need to know that he is a person because he is part of God. Often the Holy Spirit is talked about as an it, but he's a person. He has the characteristics of a person. He can be sad. He can be happy. He can speak. He can do all the things we as people can do, the Holy Spirit can do. In the Bible, there are a lot of symbols which are used to describe how the Holy Spirit is, which is good because if we just talk about a Holy Spirit, it's very bit vague. I mean, if I tell you to go outside and get hold of a bit of wind and bring it in, you can't do that. You can see when the wind's blowing what it does. Yeah? But you can't go out and bring some wind inside. In the same way, we can't get hold of the Holy Spirit, but we can see what he does. But we need to learn what he's like, what his job is, in fact. But it's very interesting, and also very interesting to teach the children about the symbols which are used for the Holy Spirit in the Bible. A lot of people say he's a dove. When you think of the Holy Spirit, you see a picture of a dove. Yeah? But he's not a dove. In the Bible, it says he came as a dove. It didn't say a dove came and sat on Jesus. It says something as, like a dove. When the flames came at Pentecost on that, well, we say there were flames on their head. It doesn't say that in the Bible. It isn't that there came something as, like a flame. What does fire do? Fire burns, it gets rid of rubbish. It can warm you, it can cook, you can use it for cooking, fire, it can destroy things. And all these symbols which are used for the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, you can use to teach the children about one aspect of the Holy Spirit. He's like fire. What does he do in your life? He burns away wrong things, but he can fill you with his fire. You know? He is like oil, is one of the symbols which is used. What do you use oil for? You can use oil. I mean, when I'm teaching the children, I was going to ask them. I would interact with them, but it will take too long to ask them. But you can take a whole lesson teaching on each of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. Oil you can use for putting on a wound to soften it. You can use it for cooking. You can use it to make light. A lot of things. And the same way, the Holy Spirit that's why we sometimes use oil to anoint people who are ill. Not because there's any magic in the oil, but because it's a symbol of what the Holy Spirit does. Like you rub oil you can rub oil on a wound to soften it. That's sort of symbol of what the Holy Spirit does. You see, so there's so much we need to know about the Holy Spirit, and there's so much we can teach the children. But one reason I think that it hasn't happened is A, because we don't believe it's for the children. We haven't believed. We do now, don't we? Yeah? We haven't believed it's for the children. And there is very little material written, available for children's ministers, children's workers, to help them to teach the children about it. Why? Because the people who write that material don't know much about it themselves. Or they don't either think it's for the children. There is material available, lessons over the Holy Spirit, but for many years it hasn't been available for children's workers to use. And I think that's one of the main reasons that they sort of thought, well, we don't know all that much ourselves, and if there's no material available to help us, then we'll just leave it, you know? But it's very important. The fruit of the Spirit. Okay. Who can tell me what the fruit of the Spirit is? What grows in you when the Holy Spirit grows in you? Which things start growing in your life to change you? Who can name one of them? Love? Yeah? No, that's the gift. That's not the fruit. Patience? Joy? Long-suffering? Okay, you know the fruits of the Spirit. And we all want the children to have all of those. It would make life very easy for us. Yeah? We need to teach them that. We need to teach them what each of those things is and how it can show in their life. And many of the children will struggle, maybe with things like self-control. You know? We can set them free from that. But it will start growing. The gifts of the Spirit. Okay. We have discernment. What else do we have? Word of knowledge? Yeah? Huh? Faith. Yeah, gift of faith. Healing. Miracles. I love miracles. Okay. Wisdom. Prophecy. Tongues. Interpretation of tongues. Yeah? We need to know these things ourselves. We need to learn about them. We need to discover, you know, as much as we can about them. And we need to reach out to receive them ourselves. Once you have received the Holy Spirit, all those gifts are available for you. And the children need to know this. Otherwise they have no idea what's available for them when the Holy Spirit has filled them, what's available for them. It's all there for them. We need to get there first. Yeah? Okay, there must be room to learn and to practice. Sometimes there will have to be a change of vision in the group you're working with. And I want to help you this. If you're in a church or a group which isn't familiar with the work of the Holy Spirit, don't just go in like to your pastor, like an elephant, and say, Pastor, I'm changing the whole children's ministry. Because that's not going to work. But sometimes we ourselves need to have a knob turned in our head so that we will have a change of vision. That we will say, okay, I've been going this way and it's been okay, but God's lit this fire in me and I need to go that way. But you need to get yourself that in that way first, you know? And then you can start, you normally work in a team of people. It isn't something you do on your own. It's not your own party, you know? We're part of a team. And so sometimes it does take a long time to get things changed. And it can be quite frustrating. But if God has lit that fire in you, that you want to see a change, because you want to see the children set free to do everything God has for them, there may have to be a change in the organization of the way you're doing things at the moment. I mean, if you want to make room in your program so that God has room to speak every Sunday, then you will have to change something in the way you're doing it now. But you have to introduce the rest of your team to this and get them familiar with it. Yeah, and also speak to your pastor about it. You know, tell him what God has put in your heart. And don't just go in and, you know, cause chaos. Which is quite easy to do if you're very enthusiastic about something, you know? Okay. You need patience. Because first of all, you have to start living a different way yourself. You have to start studying in a different way. You have to ask God to reveal things to you yourself. And what it says in Hebrews, if you're reliable in small things, God's going to give you the authority over many more things. So we must be reliable in the things we're doing at the moment, you know, even if they seem sometimes very small. If He can trust us in that, He's going to trust us with bigger things. And don't give up before you see a breakthrough. Sometimes you can go on and on and on, and it seems, you know, God, I want to see a breakthrough. It's just as if something's not happening. Don't give up. Just don't give up. Keep praying. Keep asking God to show you. And sometimes God will test you, like he did with Abraham. You know, Abraham didn't get his promise straight away. It took many, many years for this. After God had spoken to him, that he saw the promise of God come. And I believe God has spoken to many of your hearts in these days. You know, wow, there's a fire burning inside of me to see things change, see things happening. And don't give up, you know, but be wise. Sometimes it feels like you're being a pioneer. You're going to somewhere where nobody's been before. Or not, maybe somebody in your area has been before. It's if you're looking for it yourself. You're going to a place which you're not quite sure where you're going. Like Abraham was told to leave his home and to go to a place God would show him. But he had no idea at the moment when he left his home where God was going to leave him. But if you're here and you have been hearing these things and God's been speaking to you, get up and just move, yeah? God will lead you. He will show you the way step by step. He doesn't show us that whole plan in one time. He didn't show Abraham. And it took a long time before Abraham saw the promise which God had promised him many years before. So it is a time of a preparation for yourself. And sometimes God does it very quickly. It can. It's possible. But don't give up if you think things are taking too long. And sometimes it can be that you are here and you're the only one from your group here. And you've learned things. You've got this fire from God in you. And when you go back to working with the group you're working with, you're the only one who has this. You know, and that can be a bit tough. But again, God's going to help you to spread the fire. Okay, sometimes it's like being a sort of a lawyer or a mediator. I've had to go many, many times to our pastor and share with him my heart for the children. You're actually a voice for the children. Like a lawyer is a voice for the one he's defending in court. So I'm not saying the church is like a court, but, you know, it's the same sort of position. We are there as a sort of lawyer. As the voice of the children. And I've been to our pastor so many times, you know, pleading for him, you know, let the children do the things that God wants them to do. And sometimes it's a bit tough, you know. But God's given us the vision, and we need to pass it on. Okay. You need to have bread and a cloak. Now, this maybe this sounds very strange. It's in... It's a verse, and I should write down that because it's not on the notes. It's a verse in Isaiah 3, verse 7. Verse 6 it starts, and it says, a man will seize one of his brothers in his father's house and say, you have a cloak, you be our leader. Take charge of this heap of ruins. But in that day he will cry out, I have no remedy, I have no food or clothing in my house. Do not make me a leader over the people. Okay. We need bread to feed the children. And with the bread is the word of God. But we also need the cloak. We need somebody who comes to us and say, I want to put the cloak of anointing around you. Because the cloak, you know, a cloak puts around your shoulders. In the Bible, that is a sign of anointing. Elisha got the cloak of Elijah. And that was the anointing. That was the sign of the anointing. And in many times in the Bible, you see somebody is given a cloak, and that's a sign of anointing. If you want to be there for the children, if you want to see change happen, you need bread, the word of God, and you need a cloak. That is the anointing. The anointing you get from the Holy Spirit. He is the one who anoints you. He's the one who gives you the power. He's the one who gives you the inspiration. Okay, you need the anointing for the task that God has given you. You remember the story when Samuel went to the house of Jesse, and he was going. God told him to go there to anoint the new king. And he came with a horn of oil, that's what they used then, and they poured over him, and he was anointed a king. Even, what? I know I skipped one, I'm sorry. I might skip some more. Because most of the thing, what I skipped, I've already talked about. Yeah? At least you're listening. Thank you. Anyway, David was anointed as king. That was his anointing. In the Bible, there were different sorts of anointing. You had the anointing which a leper had when he had to go and see if he'd been healed. You had the anointing of a king. You had the anointing of a priest. And they're not the same. It may be that God has given you a special job to do with the children as a teacher. Yeah? Then you need the anointing of the teacher. If he has given you the special job and that's your gifting, you know on the inside, you know you're not a teacher, but you are a worshipper. God will give you the anointing of a worshipper to lead the children in worship, because we need worshippers with the children. Yeah? If you are a very creative person and you like making things, that's your natural talent, you need the anointing for that, so that you can use that for the children in a more effective way than you would be if you didn't have the anointing on. Problem is, quite often, if you're working with children, everybody thinks, you know, you can be a teacher for the children. It's your turn today. You know, I did it last week, you're doing it next week. But if that's not your anointing, then it's going to be very hard for you. You know? I love teaching. You know? And I love teaching the children. It doesn't take any energy from me, because that's what I love doing. And I think that's the gift God has given me. So, but if every week I had to think up some creative things to do with the children, it would cost me much more energy than it would cost me to get a sermon ready, because that's not my thing. And quite often, as children's workers, we are expected to do everything. What we need to pray for is that there will be teams who are ready to go with the children, who each have their own anointing. You understand what I mean? It doesn't mean you can never do anything, which, I mean, I have to do the creative thing sometimes with our children as well. That's okay. But I'd rather be teaching them. But so, I mean, we can serve in different ways. That's good. But if you can, you know, if you realize God has given me this talent, this is what he's given me, and I feel happy in it, and I need his anointing on that to make it more effective, then you will see things happening. Whether that's playing games with the children, whether that's just loving them, whether that is teaching them, or whatever, if that's the place, the thing God has anointed you to do, it won't cost you much energy, and it'll be effective. Yeah? I think we haven't got that sort of sorted out quite often in our children's ministry, because we think, you know, I'm willing to serve with the children, which is fantastic. But if we know where our own talents and our own gifts are, and we can use that, it's going to be more effective. So, we need to know what the calling is God has put on our lives. And you know that. I mean, if you were asked to speak and it costs you a lot of energy and a lot of, you know, blood, sweat and tears almost to get your talk ready for the children, then that's probably not the thing God's called you to do. You can do it. To serve in that way, but maybe you'd be much better doing something technical, you know? Okay. The anointing that God gives you is his ability to do what he is telling you to do. So he gives you more power to do it. It brings power. And I believe that we, when we're working under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's not about things we say, it's about the power which will come, because the Holy Spirit is power. And I love one verse in 1 Corinthians 2:4, it says, Paul said, I didn't come with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And if we are working at the place God has for us, the place of our anointing, then he will come with power. But sometimes there is more anointing than other times. Maybe when you've been speaking to the children or you've prepared something for them, you feel at the end, you know, I didn't get anywhere today. But I have that. Maybe you don't have that feeling, but I do sometimes. You know? Sometimes there is more of God's power in the place than there is at other times. How many of you have ever experienced that? That there's sometimes more power when you're doing something with the children than at other times. Sometimes it's, you know, I could have just as well stayed at home today, sort of, I, you know, feeling you have. And sometimes it's just, whoa, it just goes. But that's got to do with the measure of the anointing that there is at that moment. And it can increase. Okay, how can it increase? Just by asking. There's a principle of asking. There's also a principle of obedience. If you are living in disobedience, or if you are doing something which God has said not do, then you can't expect there will be an increase of the power there. Of humility. You know, it's not you, it's God. When you start giving him the glory, he's going to share more of that with you. It's also a principle of impartation. I believe that if there's someone who is anointed in a special way, whether that's for healing or whatever it is, and you have a feeling deep inside of you that God wants to use you in the healing ministry, then he can impart the anointing which he has onto you. Quite often that happens with the laying on of hands. Yeah? So get around people. When you see an anointing somewhere, you see someone with power, try and get around them to get some of the anointing. It happened with Moses as well, when the 70 new leaders were appointed in the desert. There was some of the anointing which was on Moses, which was taken from him and put on the 70 leaders. Yeah, that's impartation. Principle of worship. I think that's the main key. If we want more of God's power, we're going to have to take more time in his presence. And that's just not just Sunday morning when we come to church that we sing together or have a good time worshipping the Lord together, but it's a lifestyle of worship. That doesn't mean you go around singing all day. But our lives need to be an act of worship to God. Whether you're at work, whether you're in relationship with someone, we need to have that. And the principle of word and prayer. Reading the Bible, praying, taking time. And that's where we're going to get our power. Okay. Why is there sometimes more anointing than others? It can be to do with your personal situation. If you've had problems at home, if you're not feeling too well, if you've just lost your job, something like that, you'll probably notice that there's not that much anointing at that moment, because the person doesn't mean you've sinned, but just because, you know, we are flesh and things happen. It can be the attitude of those receiving. If, for example, I remember one Sunday morning when I was teaching the children, the evening before there had been the finals of the World Cup football on television. I don't know which year it was, I don't know where it was, I can't remember, but it was very, very late when the football match finished. That was a Saturday evening. So before the children who were allowed to watch that because it was a big match, before they went to bed, it was very, very, very late. And I had them in the children's meeting on Sunday morning. And they sort of looked and sat there half asleep. I mean, they came in half asleep. So there wasn't much power that Sunday, quite honestly. But it can be to do with the attitude of those listening. You know? It doesn't have to be your fault. It can be that there's absolutely no spiritual hunger. The children are just sitting there with their arms over each other and, you know, I'd be rather playing outside. They don't want any more of God. They're not hungry for God. It can be the level of prayer. More and more I am seeing the need in churches for people to stand up as intercessors, especially for the children. They're not involved in children's ministry, but they are set up by God to be intercessors for the children. So if there's not a very high level of prayer, if there hasn't been prayed about much your Sunday meeting, there probably won't be all that much anointing. If you're in a group and you don't agree with each other, then there won't be that much anointing. You have to have unity before each other. So that could be a reason. It could be that you haven't been reading your Bible, or that your faith level isn't high, or that, yeah, there's not a high level of worship. You know, you haven't been connecting with God all that much. In Haggai 1:7-8, it says that they wanted to rebuild the temple, but everybody was busy doing their own thing. This is in your notes as well, sir. While God's house was in ruins. And the people were told, there was the call to go and rebuild and restore. They said, go up to the mountains, collect the right materials, and build the house together. And that's what I think we need to be doing as children's workers, children's ministers, is realize that God wants to rebuild something. I'm not saying that every children's meeting is in ruins at the moment. Don't misunderstand me. But God has so much more he wants to build in the children. And he says to us, go to the mountains. Now, in the Bible, the mountains is often a place of meeting with God. Moses went up the mountain. Jesus went up the mountain when he wanted to meet up with God. So we are being called to go up to the mountain. Take time with God. Let him speak to us. Let him reveal his heart to us. And then collect the right materials. Look around. Get the right stuff together. You know, what does God want to reveal today? What does God want me to be teaching the children? What do I need for that? Get the right materials together. Thinking about which age you're teaching, or what subject you're teaching, and build the house together as a team. Yeah? We need each other. We're not in there on our own. It's not our own ministry. You know? I think all of us work in a team together with others. And that was what Haggai said. You know, go up to... We want to rebuild the temple. We want to rebuild the children's ministry. Go up to the mountain. Take time with God. Collect the right materials, what you need, and work together. Arthur Wallace was a well-known Bible teacher. He said, the generation which has never seen and experienced the powerful working of God, God's Holy Spirit, have a bigger chance that they will end up choosing the way of the world than the generation which has witnessed a powerful outpouring of God's power. I don't want the children who I'm responsible for to go the way of the world. You know? I want them to witness at this moment a powerful outpouring of God's power in their lives. And then the chance that they will go off and join the world is much smaller. And that's for all the children that you are responsible for. If they don't see with their own eyes a powerful work of God happening, then they're going to look for that power somewhere else. That's not too difficult. So, it's 4:15. this was only the first topic from this morning, but never mind. Go full speed tomorrow and do the rest. I hope it's been helpful. I hope as well, you know, that you're feeling God's heart beating for the children. And I'd just like to compliment you for sitting so long. I would just like to end up, you two boys, would you come up the front, being the youngest? And I would like you to stand up here as a sort of example of the young people who we have in our churches. Because you're probably older than the ones we are working with. But they are they belong to the same generation. And these are not just good boys. They are mighty warriors. So I would like you all to just stand up and call out God's blessing on them and with them on that whole generation. You understand what I mean? They are examples of the generation we're working with. So I just want you to proclaim God's blessing on them and on the generation. Just call out God's blessing. And you are receiving it for yourselves, but also for your whole generation. Okay? Yeah? Okay, please start. Just call out to God for this generation. Father, just thank you for this generation. Thank you for the generation that's being set free. Father, to do your work. Thank you, Father, for these examples of a generation which is ready to go, which we have the responsibility for. Father, will you bless these boys? Will you fill them with your Holy Spirit? Will you make them examples for the generation which they represent? Father, they will be filled with your Holy Spirit. They will be filled with your Holy Spirit. Father, will you fill them with your Holy Spirit, that they will carry your word. Carry your word, Father, into the world, into these generations. Father, will you fill them with your Holy Spirit, that they may be carriers of your word, that they may be examples for those around them. As their generation stands up for the things which God has for them. Thank you, Father, that you are filling them with your Holy Spirit at this moment. Father, fill them as a generation which is standing up, ready to go, ready to function in the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, will you fill them with your Spirit, the whole generation which they represent, that they are ready to go, that they are on fire to go for you, Lord. Just fill them with your Spirit at the moment, and we release the gifts that the Holy Spirit has for you. I release the gift of prophecy on you at the moment, that you will be a prophet of the Lord, that you will go out and speak God's word to your generation, for the others in your class at school, that you will be as a prophet. Just receive that. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you very much. Let's give another big hand clap to the Lord. We want to thank you so much for coming. May God bless you and bless you indeed. There is somebody who lost his pen or her pen yesterday. It's here. I don't know the owner of this pen. Otherwise, we are going.